This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation pop listeners.
Got the Owen voice on tonight.
To a very special off the page edition of the Hard Traveling Fanboys.
Or is it his serious Cena voice? I can't tell.
I am. With me as always is my partner, Nick.
Okay, that's, yeah, alright.
I say, sir, that we're not here to wrestle. We're here to fight. Actually, what we're here to do is far worse than wrestling or fighting. Or just about anything else I could imagine doing on a Monday night.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
Well, here's the thing. So, we are, you may remember, if you're longtime listeners of the show, by long time I mean like a month.
Like a month ago.
About a month ago. When we took a trip to a little town, country town, you might have heard of it, called Riverdale. Mm. You see, we went there and we had our experience with it alongside our friend Forsyth Sunday, and none of us liked it, and none of us were better for the experience.
No.
But as we were doing research, because yes, there is research that we do for this show, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Granted, the research we did was after the show was recorded.
Yes.
But nonetheless, research, we discovered that Riverdale is far from the first adaptation of Archie to happen. And we discovered a little made-for-TV movie from 1990 called Archie to Riverdale and Back Again. A movie that purports to show us grown-up adult versions of our favorite characters from the Archie comics world. Now, given that Nick is a noted anti-Archite, and given that I have some anti-Archite tendencies, admittedly, we thought to ourselves, there's no way in hell we're going to do this. And then two of our good friends, our dear pals here at Place to Be Nation Pop, peer pressured us, and we gave in. We gave in on the condition that they would take this journey with us. This dark journey into mystery that is to Riverdale and Back Again. And so joining us tonight here via satellite in our luxurious L-shaped studio, Ho-Ho Loon Plaza, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. First of all, actually, we're just going to announce them as a group because this is a tandem after all. This is the team from Talkin' Pop, the Haffy award-winning show found right here at Place to Be Nation Pop. We have Tim Capel. We have Jennifer Smith. Guys, welcome once again to our studio. Welcome to the Hard Traveling Fanboys, and welcome to Off the Page.
Thank you. It's good to be here, although I do have a bone to pick with you guys after listening to last week's episode.
Oh, really?
There were some unkind words said about me.
I know.
There were no unkind words.
There were some accusations leveled.
I mean, were any of them untrue?
That's besides the point.
Okay. All right, really then. They aren't really accusations any longer, then, are they?
Saying.
Then are they accusations if you openly admit to them in your own podcasts?
Still, yeah, I don't know.
Just embrace it. Embrace your role as the Valkyrie of Place to Be Nation Comics.
Just because we can say them doesn't mean that you can.
You can say that. Exactly.
It's a form of, you know, self privilege.
Right.
That we indulge in from time to time.
Well, who would you like to claim from the Ragnarok film, if not Valkyrie?
Why do I have to claim any character from Ragnarok?
Well, obviously, I'd be Volstagg. I mean, there's no question about that.
Well, you know, I would claim Thor himself, Chris Hemsworth, but he is second only to the choice male hottie of 2018, the one twin from the Disney Channel show that plays Jughead on Riverdale.
The Big Daddy Kid.
As we know. So yes. We'll have to see if his earlier you know, depiction on film measures up. I'll be interested to track that as we go along here.
Yeah, it will be interesting to compare the attractiveness of the Jugheads and the Archies and everyone else. And ultimately, we're going to make a determination here tonight, folks. Which is better, Riverdale the show or To Riverdale and Back Again the movie? So with all that aside, anything that you guys want to say before we get going and start rolling that beautiful bean footage?
I would just like to say, I'm Tim, by the way. I'll just say that thanks for having me back, guys. Every time that you want to ruin your podcast, you seem to have me on. So thanks very much for just steering into the skid. And we're really committed here. This is about 4 weeks going strong. I mean, talk about commitment and steering into the skid. 4 weeks now of essentially drunk comics history, although I think we're painfully sober tonight.
I'm not.
Okay, excellent. We're all going to wish we had something stronger by the time this is over.
Yeah.
To Riverdale and back again.
Absolutely.
The film and the podcast.
Well, Tim, I was going to say, you in many ways are becoming the Magdalene of hard-traveling fanboys in that you're not technically a part of the core group, but you keep popping up just whenever people least expect it. So, you know, you are very much serving a valuable role here in our ongoing adventures.
Well, thank you.
Excellent. Jenny, any final thoughts before you take this plunge with us?
No, let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you know the score at home. If you have your streaming devices available or your phones, your tablets, this movie is on YouTube in its entirety thanks to someone with even less of a life than I have who has taken the time.
What HST101ROX, thank you for uploading this from your VHS collection.
Yes.
I would like to see the complete version with your local news preceding the film eventually at some point, though.
Right.
If we can ever get a director's cut.
Oh, yeah. There.
Sir or madam, well, let's face it, sir, we are very appreciative of what you've done for us here.
Damn.
So what we're going to do right now is we're going to count you in, pull it up on YouTube, get it ready. And when we count you in, you're going to hit play, and we're going to have it on in the background. This will be Jenny's first time watching it, actually. She's just going to have to imagine what they're saying because there's no closed captioning.
I'm sure it's not important at all.
Oh, it's actually quite moving. And other things. So with that being said, folks, in 3, 2, 1, play. You know, I don't think I even introduced Nick this week. Gosh, Nick, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Still hungover, I guess.
No, I'm not hungover. I'm good. I'm good this
right
week.
Right now, we're seeing an awesome early 90s graphic. At least I am.
Yes.
Yes, this is the poor man's version of the old HBO intro here on the NBC Sunday nights at the movies.
Yeah.
This is taking me back. Taking me back, right? to a younger day.
Already feeling nostalgic.
Oh, it's Archie comic. Oh my.
Okay.
Wow.
A preview of what we're about to see, and glorious 240p. I believe on this YouTube upload.
We established on Jenny's drive-in podcast that I don't. Neither one of us knows the first damn thing about how these numbers work with visuals.
Nope. So, no idea.
Well, this is significantly sub-high definition. We'll put it that way.
This is barely definition. Riverdale and back again. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and throw this out here because I want to frame the movie in this context. So Archie Andrews, in his behavior, his portrayal, and his look, is, as best I can determine, a hybrid of two fictional characters. Those two fictional characters, of course, would be Fred from Scooby-Doo and not a fictional character, but someone who played a fictional character, Dave Coulier of Television's Full House.
Good Lord.
Sorry, yep.
See what I'm saying? Fred Jones and Dave Coulier had a baby, and his name is Archie Andrews.
Mm. Wow.
And like at the beginning of this movie, I kept waiting for him to go, cut it out, and do the chipmunk voice. Mr. Woodchuck.
And there's Mrs. Grundy, who he has sex with in the modern-day interpretation.
Yeah, look at her.
They took some liberties with Mrs. Grundy.
Mm-hmm.
As did Archie, apparently.
Which ones did you prefer, this one or current one?
You know, I'm going to go Mrs. with current one.
Yeah, you know, it depends on your taste in things, Jenny. Let's not shame anybody's kink. Somebody might have a granny kink, you know? You never know.
No judgment whatsoever.
Here's our
we're the last to say anything, aren't we?
as discussed last week on Hard Traveling Fanboys.
I don't remember if that was discussed or not, quite frankly.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Well, I'll take your word for it.
That was our establishing. This is our establishing shot showing all the characters. So Veronica is rich, and you know that she's rich because she has two maids that are just rubbing parts of her body.
And she has one of those phones that's got like the ivory and the gold on it, you know, like this fancy, you know, rotary phone from back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And Betty is the more good-hearted, small-town type person, and you know that because she's a school teacher who's married to a yuppie.
No, she's not married to him yet.
I'm sorry, engaged to a yuppie.
Yes.
Oh, I know that yuppie. What else has that dude been on?
Yeah, he's one of those guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he always plays the same character, yeah.
His name, apparently, is Matt McCoy.
Right.
And he has been in such films as Police Academy 5.
The Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
The Hand That Rocks the Cradle. Police Academy 6, of course.
Oh, yeah. Silicon Valley.
I'm looking for other things, yeah. Rent a Kid, which was a film, apparently.
Rent a Kid? Why would you want to do that?
And all kinds of television shows. Like, oh, he was in True Detective, the second season of True Detective.
Can we talk about the fact that the butler's name is Smithers?
Well, he was in Greg's favorite show, The Mentalist.
Guys, one of my pitches for the comic book draft, I'm considering having the Jesse Custer book be The Preachest. Anyway,
what else was he in?
Look at this guy. Look at the. Okay, we're gonna have to talk about Archie's suit here in a second. It is I am working under the assumption that it is the perfect early '90s suit, but I'm willing to listen to arguments otherwise.
It's a damn good suit.
I mean, look at that tie. What pattern is that? I don't know.
So here's where I'm confused a little bit. I think.
Okay.
Archie is walking around throughout this movie, like, acting bewildered at all the changes that are going on in Riverdale. But hasn't he been living in Riverdale literally his entire life?
He's been living there, yes.
So, like, what is the point of this movie?
Where is he returning?
That was kind of my first question as well in watching this. Just what is the point?
If the point is the point that Betty and Veronica and Jughead are coming back and Archie's been stuck here his entire life?
I think so.
Well, that's stupid.
But at the same time, I have a broader, more existential question of who is this movie for? Because not that I'm not going to toe the line of being an anti-Archite by any means. However, I will cop to fearing what I don't understand. And I think, you know, someone will have to correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think the appeal of the Archie comics and the Archie universe is this kind of wistful nostalgia thing. Everybody's frozen in time, nobody
in
ages,
the 50s,
and nobody has any real problems. It's all just kind of bubblegum escapism. And you know, they've now aged these characters up 15 years. That's the premise of
allegedly
of this made for TV movie, and this is their high school reunion. So we're seeing them 15 years later. And what throws me is that this thing feels like the TV reunion special to a show that never existed. So I'm like, who's really...
Yes, it's called Sad Days, actually.
Right? It really... It's like, what are we doing this for? There's not a show that you could actually capitalize on some nostalgia for, and I don't see how Archie fans could get a lot out of it. However, if reviews on YouTube are to be believed, which you should never read, by the way, you should never read the comments on YouTube, of course, but should you find yourself doing that, they're pretty positive for the most part. Although there are folks expressing bewilderment 4 years ago as to why they killed Archie in one of the comics, because folks don't really get the whole, I guess, extended universe of Archie comic series that exists now.
In fairness, I don't either.
Well, I don't either. I mean, I understand the concept and right. Not specifically how it applies, but some of these folks are pretty disappointed and mad that they killed him. But I guess they...
He lives on in digest form.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so what's happening right now with Jughead? Is that Jughead?
That's yes, Jughead.
This is Jughead.
And you his therapist?
No, quite the opposite.
See,
quite the
they're trying to make you think yeah. That's his therapist, but really it turns out Jughead is the therapist, and he's airing his problems to his patient.
Because the gimmick is, when he gets done talking, the patient, the Jughead says, "Hey, is there anything that I can help you with?" And the guy says, no, just coming here every month and hearing your problems makes me feel a lot better.
What were some of his problems?
He's afraid of women, like literally afraid of them. He has no real
divorce
relationship with his son.
He hates his son, apparently.
Yes, his son is a living terror, according to him. He's mad because he always lost to his ex-wife at poker. I don't remember what all the complaints were.
No, that's about the gist of it.
But basically,
oh my God,
he's a miserable human being who, like, again, is literally afraid of women. Yeah. Not of talking to them, afraid of them.
Nick,
yes?
Have you ever met David Mundy?
Oh my God.
You have, haven't you?
Yes. Yes, what? I have.
Look at Jughead.
Yeah, I'm not looking at him.
I don't know why it just dawned on me. So, okay, I don't want to play
Jughead. Jughead lacking his signature crown.
Yes,
I guess that thing's a crown, but he is still looking very cranial in this film.
Yes,
his hair what's left of it, kind of yes. Does the thing that the crown. The whole lopsided thing that the crown sort of does, how it frames his
yes.
Body.
It kind of shifts to one side just ever so slightly.
Yeah,
It suspends there permanently, yeah.
I mean, there were times I thought he was wearing it just because his hair was so lopsided.
Now, are these two guys supposed to be Bulk and Skull or Jason Kirby?
No, they're the two new dudes. New
the Spender
kids.
Thing! Yes. Oh, God, I've been waiting all day to talk about that.
Yes, his wife told him that belts were too utilitarian, that suspenders were the end thing. And I just laughed.
Hey, Pops, look at these, am I right? Bet you've never seen a pair of suspenders like this.
Right.
Oh, Lord.
So he's catching up with this gentleman, the proprietor of the malt shop, the chocolate shop.
And yet again, they're acting like they haven't seen each other in a year when he lives in the small fucking town.
No, Archie's been doing a lot of big city living in Riverdale. That's different. You can do big city living or you can live in the 1940s. And all the people in this part of the town are living in the 40s and Archie's living in 1990, I suppose.
Yes, this film released, let's see, it says May 6th, 1990.
Yeah, and at one point, Reggie, who we're introduced to right here, who I literally know nothing about the character of Reggie, but apparently he's a bad guy. So, there's a line in this movie where he says, the thing in the 80s was all about spending time you didn't have to get in shape. The thing in the 90s is going to be spending money you don't have for luxuries you want.
Yeah. not sure how the two are really different.
Archie is looking particularly Dave Coulier-like in this scene, by the
he
way.
He really is. Yep.
Where is this filmed? Is this real location?
Who knows?
I believe this was filmed in Pleasantville.
All right. Yeah.
This is the guy that looked like Brell to me from No Holds Barred. But he's not, obviously. But he kind of looks like him. He has the same dead, hollow eyes.
Oh. Well, he has... well, that may be foreshadowing something at the climax of this great film, which... Oh, I mean, I haven't actually seen, so what am I talking about? I did just watch it earlier today.
Oh, yes. No. Yeah. So Tim, myself, and Nick have watched this movie. Well, I've watched like 75% of this movie.
Yeah.
Jenny has not, so we're trying to help her follow this really, Jenny, I think you would agree, engrossing film.
Yeah, you're doing a great job. Yeah.
So Archie is taking a ride with Veronica's father, Mr. Lodge, the wealthy somewhere.
Hiram.
Yes, thank you, okay. Hiram Lodge. Right. And he is a scurvy little spotter. But Archie knows this, but he doesn't know the depth of his depravity just yet. Mm. And Archie is on his way out of town. He is made partner in some big city law firm. So he's
leaving. Does the city ever get named? By the way,
the city.
He just says the city. Yeah,
he's moving to the city. Yeah. You know that one.
That's right.
How come nobody is eating this beautiful bowl of fruit in the
No, I'm mesmerized.
Pretty inviting, yeah.
For people who have not encountered Hiram,
kindly shaped like a banana,
Mr. Hiram Lodge, he kind of talks like this, Mr. Andrews.
Yeah. And now
that suit is winning me over. I will say.
I mean, that's 1990. Like, if you put him in a lineup, I would guarantee that I could pick out the year that he was from.
Jughead is clearly a wonderful house guest, just leaving the front door standing open.
This is what this scene reminded me of when I watched it earlier. It reminded me of the scene in like almost everything that's ever existed on television or movies, where the door is cracked open and whoever the main character is pulls out a gun that he has on him and just like kind of holds it and kind of leans in, and then it turns out that it's somebody that he knows in there. And he's like, "Oh gosh!" And he does the eyes up thing, you know, where he's like, "Oh god!" And he puts the gun back.
What a sell by Archie on that water gun shot to the face.
Yeah, speaking of guns.
And now Archie's just ruining things, knocking boxes off the table to try to get
He wants to, I don't know, do what to this kid?
Right?
And let's be honest, though. This kid is a little turd.
Yes. Like
he is a little shit, for lack of a better term.
And there's Jughead.
Yeah. In all his glory.
Indeed.
How did Jughead procreate? He has a son.
Well,
yeah, apparently a woman either had sex with him or he adopted this kid, and the woman was a bad mother and he got possession of him somehow.
Well,
more likely somebody married him for his psychiatrist salary and then was getting some action on the side, and then they tricked Jughead into raising the little son of a bitch as his own. That's what I'm going with.
Now, look,
that's
Jughead,
the story I want to see.
He was the choice male hottie in 1990, so who
at
would
that
get
time,
beaten out that year?
I think he beat out Michael Landon.
Yes, and
1990 was Michael Landon still a thing in 1990?
Oh, Michael Landon was still a thing up until he died.
Was Highway to Heaven still a thing at that point?
Yeah, no, I think Highway to Heaven went off the air in 89, so maybe Michael Landon's heyday was gone. Mm-hmm. Very well, let me find another. Heartthrob from
how about John Wesley Shipp?
John Wesley Shipp, Television's The Flash.
That's right, because Television's The Flash of 2018, Grant Gustin, lost to Jughead as the 2018 choice male hottie, along with Chris.
Now here's Hemsworth. This fucking kid going into Archie's room. Nice sheets, Archie, by the way, and putting some green Jell-O on Archie's mattress for whatever reason. Oh.
Notice here, you know it's from 1990 or the early 90s because people still bought their groceries in giant paper bags instead of plastic bags.
Yeah.
And also, Jughead's tie only goes down to like his nipple. So
It's a proto-Trump tie.
Or maybe it's just that his pants are pulled up so high. I think that's what it is. Both of them, both Archie and Jughead, have their pants pulled up.
And like apparently there was a stick of dynamite in that toaster.
This kid is a fucking demon.
Yeah.
Kid's a piece of shit.
He's the worst.
No wonder Jughead hates his life and has a sucky depression.
That's okay. Jughead's gonna get the ultimate revenge on this kid by the end of the movie by pretty much ruining
shit in his mouth.
He's gonna ruin his social life forever.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, but the kid doesn't realize it because the kid joins him. We'll talk about that when the time comes, my friend. Just you wait.
And here is Veronica, who is pretty much saying to anybody who will listen, "I'm only attending this reunion so I can fuck Archie."
Fuck Archie, right?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Although I have an interesting statement, Nick, and I'm not sure that you would agree with me or not.
Uh-huh.
When I entered this film, I expected based on certain preconceived notions, mm-hmm. to find myself drawn to Veronica, mm-hmm. as I often do in any iteration of Archie,
mm-hmm.
Especially the digest books. My lord. Mm. Anyway,
my knowledge of those is extensive.
But what I found as I watched this film is that I would say that if you're scaling them in the form of zero to a Hashimachi, I give Betty the slight edge over Veronica in this one, played by Lauren Holly.
I'm gonna agree with you there. You had to give the nod to Betty, and plus she's not a massive fucking bitch, so she always has that going.
Right.
For her.
Right. Now, Jennifer, you would disagree with that statement.
Yeah. No, Veronica's way hotter than Betty.
Well, Veronica is more seductive than Betty, but I don't know that I can agree with the hotness, because you haven't gotten – there's a scene later in the film
where Betty tries to take her game to another level.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And
she's hot, she's rich, and she's a bitch. What's not to love?
That's true. She would. Now, I will say this. Veronica would be a great 90210 character.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, Tim.
Oh, I just said it's got to be Veronica. She's hot, right. She's rich, she's a bitch. Mm-hmm.
It's got to be Kane. Look at this dork. Good lord. And I'm a dork, but man, Archie is just...
Now see, Jughead's kid blew up his tie, so he turned his tie. Now here's the first. Here we go. This is the first of the flashback sequences that are taking
that
a look.
That locker room is stacked.
At these 40-year-old men trying to play 18-year-old kids. And the only thing they did differently was give Jughead hair.
I think the other kids are actually like younger guys, though. Like the other people, but then you've got like 38-year-old Archie and Jughead in their gym outfits walking around with a bunch of half naked.
Oh my god! Mm. This movie is picking up.
There we go. Yeah,
and that's that.
Let's see that Midgard serpent in those sweats.
So yes,
I do like a good pair of sweats.
This will recur multiple times in the movie where you see flashbacks of old dudes playing.
Yes. There's a really good one coming up that if blinking you'll miss it in the chocolate shop. Oh god.
Okay. Mm. Here
Wow, they are both thirsty.
Yes, mm-hmm. they are.
Yes, that's the entire movie, yes.
So here's the thing. Everybody in this movie is just so inherently unlikable because everyone is in a committed relationship except Veronica.
Yes.
And
the only reason she's not in one is because she admits that she's been – I think at one point she's like – Archie says something like, I have a fiancé. And she's like, so what? I've had 13.
She says she's been divorced 4 times.
Right, and but had 13.
That doesn't count all. Yeah, doesn't count all the fiancés, right?
Yeah, leaving at the altar. Yeah. So everyone in the movie is aware that everyone else is in a committed relationship.
Oh, no, not Jughead. Jughead's not.
And Jughead. Well, of course. but
you have the subplot throughout this movie of Jughead trying to hide from Big Ethel, who had a crush on him in high school.
Which I guess is an actual running joke from the comics.
The comic, I guess.
I will.
Tim, I'm going to take your word for it on that.
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt there.
Why not? So everybody from the beginning of this movie, Betty goes right up and just embraces her high school crush, despite the fact that Betty has a fiance and Archie has a fiance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Veronica is openly trying to sleep with Archie. and get him to leave his fiance and be with her. Pretty much the only person in this movie that doesn't act like a completely selfish, horrible person is Archie's fiance Pam, who I only encountered.
Who is absent for most of the movie.
Who's absent for
who is absent night. For most of the movie, and spoiler alert, is abandoned by the end of the movie.
I mean, this movie, like, how are you supposed to root for Archie? How hard is it to just say, sorry, bitch, I'm married, or engaged, or whatever the hell. Like, sorry, got a fiance, can't make out with you now. Which he says a few times, but doesn't do anything to stop.
You gotta understand, from Archie's perspective, he is still trying to work himself into the ultimate three-way. So, like, there's gotta be that magic out, right?
And that's the thing. It's the 90s. Let's explore an open relationship.
Right.
You know?
I mean, that's clearly what all three of them want, but are too afraid to say it.
Shouldn't Archie include his fiance in the open relationship thing so that she's free to be with Moose or whoever?
No. Because, let me tell you why. The message of this movie, if there is one, seems to be that anything that you do after high school sucks, and we should all be trying to get back to the way life was when we were 18 years old.
Oh yeah, that was the exact takeaway I got.
Yeah. Should I just climb into the nearest locker?
Yes. Yes, you should. I mean, it won't close, obviously, because it's too small. You can try to climb in there if you want.
Well, I mean, maybe the locker would be bigger. I don't know. You know, so look at him doing the pinky thing with his coffee.
Yeah, Lord,
Jughead is the best / worst. Yeah. And, okay, let's talk about Rick for a minute. So Rick is the fiancé of Betty. And
Robert. Call me Bob is what he says.
Good God, Robert. Never mind. Rick, Robert. Bob. He reminds me of Rick Grimes and that he's a piece of shit.
Well, admittedly, he is an asshole, no doubt. But the thing of it is, it's not really Archie's place to say that. And like,
oh,
I don't know.
100%, you're right. 100%.
I don't know if we've seen it yet, but there's a scene. It might be coming up
It's about to happen right now. Yep,
and
this is it.
It's like Archie is just dumbfounded that Betty did not put her whole life on hold for him, and that she's dating this guy that is frankly none of Archie's business. But
who looks a little bit like Tom Zink?
Well,
Tom Zink's
he's
a handsome
nice,
man.
Nice looking young man. Mm-hmm.
He has the Tom Zink hair at the very least.
Who was he in The Hand That Rocks the Cradle? Was he the husband?
I have no idea.
I feel like he was. I mean, it's in his credits. I didn't go so far as to look, but
oh my gosh, there's a character here named Debbie Derryberry.
Derryberry.
Yeah. Debbie Derryberry.
Who went
also,
to Sprayberry High School.
Not Macon. Marietta, Georgia, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Then there's Jeff Hotchendonor.
Yes, he was the husband in The Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
The actress's name is Derryberry. Debbie Derryberry. Her character's name is actually less ridiculous. It's Midge Mason.
Oh, okay.
Debbie Derryberry, wow. Anyway, so Robert is just a turd of a person, but Archie inserts himself into this situation because he clearly still pines after Betty, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and Veronica.
Very much so.
And Veronica, even though he's engaged.
Yeah, not so much Veronica at first, but then she puts the moves on him, and he's like, okay,
I'm not in any position to argue.
Get it in where you can, I guess.
Except you are in a position to argue. Yeah. Now, this is a weird
show.
Oh,
that's creepy as fuck.
What? What? Was that the butler?
That was Mr. Hiram Lodge.
Lodge.
Oh, man.
There's a scene coming up with Hiram.
It's like
where
something
he looks,
right out of Dynasty.
Exactly. There's a scene coming up where he looks just like Mr. Rogers, too.
Ooh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. So this little shithead of a kid is in the back just making dirt. Dick comments I don't really care that he makes dick comments to Archie. He deserves it.
Greg?
Right? But he's his dad, too.
Greg, did you know that this kid, according to Wikipedia anyway,
oh no,
Oh,
what?
Directed ESPN 30 for 30s The U and The U Part 2.
What?
Yes.
I don't see him on the, oh, no, there he is, Billy Corbin. Jordan Jughead Jr. Jones is his character name. Billy Corbin. Gosh.
Billy.
He grew up to look like a dork, too. Sorry, that's
now, see, here, Archie has colluded with Jughead to have Jughead kidnap Bob so that he can get some alone time with Betty, essentially.
Right.
Which is really creepy.
And now he's berating her for having a life.
For having a life and dating someone that doesn't meet his high moral fiber.
You lack moral fiber. You can't talk to my fiancé like that.
Meanwhile, yes, he has introduced no one to his fiancé.
No, he sent her out of town.
He sent her out of town. He basically said, are you sure you don't want to come to the reunion? I mean, you probably don't.
You probably don't. You'd hate Betty and Veronica. They're awful. Just get out of here.
He does that, like, crouching it and, like, trying to make it seem as if he invited her, but actually just telling her to go somewhere else.
Just go elsewhere. I got things to do. People
to
do.
I feel bad. I was going to say, I feel horrible for Pam throughout this movie. Like, he doesn't call her once after telling her he would call every day. All he does is spend time with his exes from high school. Can you imagine how angry
but
he would
were
be?
They here, ever
go,
his
here
exes?
We go, here we go, here we go. The photo. Check it out.
Oh, God.
Oh, my Lord. Those bangs, man. They were...
Okay, can I just say it? He looked older in that photo.
And that's what I was going to say.
Yes. So Pop just presented Archie and Betty with a framed black and white photo of them from last week, by the way.
Or next week.
How bad is this wig, by the way, on Betty?
Like, oh, my God, I was just about to say that.
This is one of the worst wigs.
Hold on a minute. So what exactly is a chocolate shop?
We asked this in the damn Riverdale show, and none of us could come up with an answer.
We have two new guests this week. So, Jenny, Tim, have you guys ever been to a chocolate shop?
A chocolate shop?
Yes, a chocolate shop.
I can't say I have. You know, I think it got bulldozed in the 50s, so I've never been able to experience that. So, I've never
And even if you had the opportunity, you probably wouldn't have.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
yeah, I was gonna say, let's not get too hasty, Nick. Now, if I'm driving to work tomorrow and I see something that says chocolate shop on it, let's be honest. What are the odds that I'm gonna stop there? Pretty high.
Depends on what they put in their malted. I mean, that could be some pretty solid stuff. Maybe a chocolate egg cream. You never know.
Gross.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't either. I reacted to it because I wanted to sound cool, but I don't know what it is either. Oh.
And now he's sad because Reggie's evicting him.
Wait,
they want to get the chocolate shot. No, that's not yet, I don't think, is it?
Okay, did I just slip into a fugue state? Because wasn't chocolate egg cream temporarily the Shazam replacement code word that Billy Batson had to say to turn into...
Like, yeah, I've heard that. I've not read it, but I've not read it in a comic or anything, but I've heard that somewhere.
Wait, what? Online.
There is a thing. Wasn't it like just post Infinite Crisis where the code word changed and like he didn't know what it was or something? I don't know. I didn't read it, but I swear it was like this whole
mystery. Yes, apparently.
What's the new phrase? And it was like that of all things?
Chocolate egg cream.
Holy shit.
Say these magic words and you can become fatter.
the dark recesses of my mind.
I got it. Here's what it was, Tim. I'm sorry. Somehow Billy Batson gained the power to change the magic word so that Black Adam could no longer become Black Adam. And then apparently Black Adam accidentally or just happened to walk into a chocolate shop one day.
And order
a chocolate egg cream and then turned into Black Adam. And then he's sitting there going, oh, well, that was all random, Billy. Thanks for that.
Well, fuck. So, what is it? I've already forgot. Reggie, yeah.
Reggie.
So, Reggie, up until the attempted murder thing, is Reggie really that bad of a guy?
Well,
is he dedicated and committed to his business?
No, you don't. No, see, Greg, they didn't like him in high school. And so, again, the message of this movie is that our life perspective should be fixed when we're 18 years old and never shift from there. So it doesn't matter what Reggie has done in the 15 years preceding it. To them, Reggie is the biggest dick in the world.
Yeah, it's like, to me, they're trying to make Reggie out to be the bad guy for trying to foreclose.
Is that a
framed
picture of Richard Nixon? I ask
it is.
Again.
It is.
Yes.
It
my sure Lord. Is.
Oh, the first
here
dance
we go.
Of the movie from Tughead.
They're teasing it.
There it is. There is William David Jughead Jones Sunday on screen right now.
Now, Jenny, you can't hear it right now.
The little kid. Oh, my God.
He's like, I'm just going to hit the bricks here.
Hey, we're going to have fun today, kids.
No.
So, right now.
Is that Jughead? Jughead is actually dancing and singing, Jenny, to the Archies song "Sugar, Honey, Honey" from the 60s,
which we already heard during the opening credits of this movie, which we're going to hear again in a rap version in a little bit, and then again at the end of the film as well.
Now,
it's
the version they play at the beginning of this movie is actually really good. It's by like Otis Redding, I think, covering it, which is again random. But it may not be Otis, but it's one of those soul singers from the 70s, 60s, and he's awesome. But the song is like a fake band was created called the Archies, and they put out this album and this song with the idea being that it was the characters from Archie playing this music, but it was actually just people they hired to play the songs, you know, and pretend to be Archie and the rest of them. Very bizarre. And so they would make music videos of cartoon Archie characters playing this song while giving credit to this fictitious band, the Archies.
Apparently this was broadcast during May Sweeps as a backdoor pilot for a potential ongoing series.
There you go. And it finished, I believe, 51st in the ratings.
51st in the ratings, yes.
Now, how – okay, that opens a whole new can of stories here. Of
how that's even possible?
Yes.
How that's possible. And also, what would the show have been? There's no conflict.
Well, by this point, Pam would have been out of the running, and it would have literally gone back to, like, I'm guessing the Betty-Veronica love triangle every week for ad nauseum.
That's insane.
Like, I think it would end up with Archie and Jughead getting together. I mean, they're very closely talking.
It looks like it's leaning that way.
No, I'm saying it's got to be the polyamorous relationship of Archie, Betty, and Veronica all living together. Like that's really the if you had to write an ending to Archie, that's what it is. They go off to college together, and you're like, you know what? There's no more small town morals to rein us in. Let's just all live here and fuck, and you know that's what we want to do anyway. So let's just do it.
Okay.
Well, their little dance that they do for the hour and a half of this movie gets so tedious. I can't imagine just week after week.
Yes,
that's what it is.
This little kid's about to have an awakening of his own.
Mm.
He sees Veronica for the first time, and he is about to become erect.
And Veronica has literally broken into Archie's home for the purposes of borderline raping him.
By the way, a minute ago when Jughead and
as I said.
Yeah, see, there's not – let's see where this goes.
Here he's on the phone with his wife and literally, like, you know, stops listening to her and hangs up on her. Or not his wife, his fiance. Archie is a bad fiance.
He's not a good man.
No.
But
now, to his credit, he's getting away. He's finding his ways not to have sex with these two.
That's true.
Despite the numerous opportunities
now,
presented.
Here comes the kid climbing up on the ladder and having a boner and falling off, I hope. It didn't happen this time. I watched it, but maybe it'll happen this time.
Am I the only one who finds it odd that he calls her Ronnie as well?
A little bit.
Look at
the 90s. I'm going to keep going.
The kid's catchphrase. Oh, my God. We've gone this far, and we haven't mentioned that the little kid has a catchphrase.
The kid has
waka
a catchphrase?
Waka
waka. I didn't even notice that.
Yes, twice in the movie, he says, waka. First time, he goes, waka waka. And now this time, he looks in, and he goes, waka waka.
We know what he should have said.
Howard.
No, not that.
Oh, he shoved him.
Yeah, shoves himself out.
That child.
That child deserves it at this point. Like, one, he's been a massive douche the entire time. Two, he's trying to put the mother of all cockblocks on Archie. Like, this kid deserves what he gets, in my opinion.
Apparently trying to look at him.
He's a lawyer.
He's trying to get his catchphrase over.
Archie knows that he has plausible deniability. If that little kid dies, oh, I don't know what happened. He must have been playing with the ladders.
Should have been up there, stupid kid.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's going to have his boner struck the tree.
I think I still fall with you, Greg, on the Betty side, but at least we have to give Veronica credit for having real hair and not a terrible wig.
I'm not knocking Ronnie. Ronnie's a good woman. She's good. And I'm not knocking her. She knows what she wants and she goes after it. She's a character with agency.
How good for her though. How much dedication does this take to be doing this for God, you know, her entire high school life and then still doing it here at age 33 and constantly getting rejected and yet she keeps coming back for another swing at the plate. Good for her.
Yeah, for a guy who's not very attractive.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't understand.
What a magical dick he must have that these two women just
But they've never but the implication is neither one of them have ever gotten it. So like how do they know?
I know. They've been dickmatized.
It must be like dick pheromones is what I'm thinking. Like they can just smell them, you know?
I think perhaps
big dick energy.
I guess.
Tim, what say you?
I don't know. This movie abounds with small dick energy, so
What kind of dick energy does Jughead have? That's what I want to know.
Well, you know, I think Jenny actually touched upon it. So we've established that these two hot women have been chasing after Archie since he was in high school, and he continually rejects them. We don't know that he's actually had sex with his fiance. So we do know that he and Jughead have a very close personal relationship, and we're talking extremely close to one another. Perhaps there are feelings for each other that they're hiding inside, and it's the source of Jughead's women problems and Archie's inability to commit to any of the women in his life.
So they kind of manifest in different ways these problems that they have.
Right. Alternatively, Jughead, when he was talking real close to Archie and had his hand on his shoulder, Nick does the same thing when he's intoxicated. So,
oh man,
fair enough.
Wow, that's a
you know where I'm going with this.
True there.
Yeah, you know where I'm going with this now. does Jughead at any point look at his friend Archie the way that college Nick did?
College Greg Phillips.
The answer is no. No other person looks at any other person like that.
Man, that is a shame.
You had lust in your eyes. Yeah.
Look, you need to get you a man who will look at you the way that College Nick Duke looks at College Greg Phillips. That's all I'm going to say.
I wasn't even there.
Okay, I wasn't even there. Just saw the evidence. Saw the photo. That's all I needed.
We need to delete that picture, I think.
That's all I needed.
Oh, it'll just make us feel bad about how many pounds we've gained since then.
How much hair I used to have.
Yeah, I know. Back when I used to wear a hat because I thought it was stylish, not because it was covering up my baldness.
So we're supposed to feel bad for Pops because presumably he's not paying his bills because those people that are working for him are eating him out of house and home, as Archie established earlier.
I don't know that he's actually
not paying his bills. Yeah, I thought they were just evicting him because they wanted the space.
I guess they had a clause in the contract that allowed them to evict at any. Mm-hmm. But there is a line at the beginning of the movie where Archie tells him that those kids are eating him out of house and home, and if he's not careful, that they'll eat him out of business or something.
Well, here we go. Betty and Veronica are going to play tennis while they talk about who's going to get to fuck Archie.
But not just tennis. Aggressive tennis. Oh, watch this, Jenny. One of the best scenes in the movie right here. Wait for it. Really clever what the kids do. Watch this. Oh, here comes the tennis ball.
Oh my Jesus!
Yeah, man, dude.
Does that look at the like knickers.
It's almost like they cut to a commercial of like the kid selling like dentine or something. And I just thumbs up. Yeah, dentine.
Oh, this looks like a Mentos commercial.
Oh, here we go, a flashback.
A fresh maker.
Look at that hair.
Look at how completely different they look being younger.
Well, at least they made somewhat of an effort to make them look different in their flashbacks.
Right. That's a good point.
I will say that.
She looks she looks normal in the flashback, Betty does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will say Veronica actually looks better in the current day, though.
Mm-hmm.
I will say Archie looks good nowhere.
No. Archie looks like, I mean, you said Dave Coulier, and that is a very astute observation. He's kind of like first season Melrose Place love interest for like Allison or somebody, you know?
I can see that. Yeah. Allison would
totally
get with him.
Yeah. A few scenes, but wasn't ever, like, couldn't even be considered a recurring cast member, just, like, guest appearances.
A passing fling.
Yeah.
But his vocal qualities have that Fred Jones quality to them, where, hey, gang, we're going to go out and solve mysteries. That's not even a good Fred voice, but God dang it, I can't do it. I just know what it sounds like, you know, and that's him. And who is this guy? This is the judge,
this
right?
This is the judge, yep. Archie's trying to talk him into opening the court on Saturday so they can rule that the eviction notice for Pops is not legal based on Archie not wanting it to happen.
Yes, that's a sound legal precedent.
Yes.
Archie. Based on the classic case of something versus something, 1953.
I don't like it, and it shouldn't happen.
Which the judge, I love the judge's response to that. Well, that case doesn't apply here, but okay.
You still give me a lot to think about.
I'll take it under advisement.
So this judge, what is the deal with these birdhouses? I'm just now noticing this. He has like 600 birdhouses.
He likes to build birdhouses. Everybody needs a hobby, Greg.
I guess so.
Well, here was the 90s. You know, that's what people did. I mean, you're going to build birdhouses. You're going to be wearing suspenders. You're going to be in open relationships. It's the 90s,
You're
going
to be wearing vertical striped sweaters.
That's good. Yeah. Ooh, look, card catalog. Really dated.
This is old school. Yeah, this is old. I remember when libraries were like this. This reminds me of my elementary school library where we'd go to read all about Godzilla versus King Kong.
Godzuki.
And here's the thing, this movie, the characters are so one-dimensional and broad that you can't really even get invested in who they are as people or, you know, right. The acting. I mean, the acting is not even
bad. You don't even root for them to bone each other, yeah.
Yeah, and the acting's not bad, it's just sort of, what are we even going for? And it's just, what's the conflict? I mean, how are these things even problems? So,
all the conflicts are self-inflicted, so there's no rooting interest for the viewing public.
These are kind of what people call good problems to have, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe that's part of the appeal.
Oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
Another flashback.
Archie, if you're not going to take me to prom, we don't have a future together.
That's right.
Gee, Betty. I'm going to sit here and play my guitar, my electric guitar that's unplugged.
And wear my sweater vest.
Oh, yeah. He's got like his lettered sweater vest on.
Well, as we'll see later on, he was a member of the football team, apparently in like 1941.
That's right.
Leather helmet.
Leather helmet with no face mask.
That's the problem. That's why he can't make a decision. He clearly has CTE at this point.
Oh, he has suffered a litany of concussions and ruptured a disc, which
fragmented into his spinal column.
Okay, now here.
Well, if that's the case, Greg, then I think we know the ultimate fate of Jughead Jr. Then in a little bit.
Oh no! What has happened?
That's a murder-suicide joke, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, it was. Yes.
That wasn't on the format sheet, ladies and gentlemen. Jerusalem strikes again.
You know, this flashback here, This Archie is looking somewhat Michael Rapaport.
I can see Rapaport. The Coulier is being overtaken by the Rapaport.
According to some random listicle that I saw, noted daddy Michael Rapaport, nonetheless. Mm.
I would rather pour citric acid in my Cheerios than to think of Michael Rapaport as a daddy.
Well, you know, if you look like lumpy mashed potatoes, you might make best daddy's list.
You might be a daddy. Hey! Good for me.
We're drifting.
No, Nick, you look like lumpy cauliflower now.
No, not anymore. Not anymore. That's all over with now.
You already gave up.
I told you I was giving up when football season got here. Hmm.
Basically, I'm saying that you look like a lumpy Harley Race.
I don't have like curly hair, you son of a bitch.
I wish you did, though. Harley Race has the best hair. And Cybers. Look at Archie blatantly seducing Betty here. Yeah. Now see, this is ridiculous. What about Pam? What would Pam say?
What about Bob?
That's right.
I don't know, that looks kinda hot though.
What about Raven?
And they're just not.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, Jenny. It is a little steamy. Mm-hmm. But
and then so what exactly here stops them from doing this? I don't remember.
Because he puts it into perspective for Betty in his goofy explanation, and she realizes that they're not supposed to be together.
How much were these people masturbating this weekend after all these close calls and blue balls?
Well, based on some of the conversations that Archie has with Betty, I'm not convinced he knows how to masturbate.
That's a good point.
Because at one point, they're talking about whether they had sex one time when they were in high school, and she goes, "No, we didn't." And he goes, "You don't remember?" And she goes, "But I'd remember if we..." And then he reveals that he's joking. But then later on, there's a similar scene where she says, did you and Veronica, you know? And he goes, "Huh, I think I'd know if we had." But he has that look on his face like he's saying that, but he's not really sure. Grabs an encyclopedia. Sex.
What the shit?
What just happened here?
What happened to the car?
This scene made no sense to me earlier.
Okay, now this.
What was
really
the context of this?
Yeah. It was the limo driver, right?
Yes, Hiram put his chauffeur up to terrorizing Archie, and so somehow or another, the limo driver sabotages Archie's car, and this is what happens.
Yeah, but what came off in his hand was the gear shift, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And now so why does that have anything to do with the gas pedal?
Not only can he not stop, but he can't steer.
The brakes don't work. He can kind of steer because nobody gets killed, but, I mean, this is a scene of absolute carnage.
This is ridiculous.
This makes no sense in the context of the movie.
Terrifying scene. Look at this. I mean, even in and out of... He just hit a car.
Back seat, not... secured or seat belted at all in a convertible.
That guy was just trying to whitewash his fence, and now, now there's a car through it.
It's right there.
Takes it out. Look at this.
Did you guys see that?
No.
They just showed a shot of the car, and the kids weren't in the back seat, but they're about to be back in the back seat again.
Yep. No one wearing seat belts, by the way.
No.
That's like that.
They're in a convertible. Like
scene from Mr. Nanny where a guy's drowning his dog. In the background.
Just murdered that dog.
That's a real thing, by the way.
Oh my god. That dude took a nice bump.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like a, what would you say? Maybe a 3.5 store bump?
What are they running for? The farmer's market here?
This is terrifying. I mean, look at this.
Okay, I didn't understand that line either. So Jughead catches that head of lettuce, and what does he say? He's like, "I'm going to have to stop by the market and get some mustard or something."
And now they're
head of lettuce.
They crash through the window of Reggie's gym. That's what Reggie
what
does.
What is on his head? What was on Archie's head just now?
Oh, who knows?
I think it's hay after they crash through that farmer's market.
And they're like, "Hey, kids, you haven't been decapitated? Awesome. What a great ride." Uh-oh, here's the judge that bailed me out. Better walk away from him.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Andrews, I believe you have some explaining to do. Ah, gee.
This is highly irregular.
Luckily for him, he gets his hearing on account of the fact that he was being arrested for apparently attempted vehicular manslaughter after that whole scene. Because, I mean, they took him into the station. But while he's there, I guess he gets his hearing. So, yeah.
Okay,
here we go.
Here's the thing. We're at the hearing. Archie, who is a trained and presumably a man who has been to law school, a trained attorney, is representing
Pop.
Meanwhile, Reggie, who has no legal background, is representing himself.
Yes.
And, by the way, doing a better job than Archie of arguing the law.
Oh, this is true. He came prepared. He's got all his shit. Judge is like, now, wait a minute. You do not own the building that the chocolate shop is based out. Oh, I've got that. And here comes the dramatic reveal.
That Hiram Lodge, Veronica's ditty, is the one that is rooting or organizing the removal of Pop from the chocolate shop.
It was me, and, Ronnie. It was me all along.
Now, here comes Archie to counter these signed legal documents with a precedent case from 1953 that the judge is like, well, that's something completely different. It doesn't really apply here, but thank you for your time.
I like how he runs around like doing nothing in this nice suit, and then he comes to court in his fucking sweater and khakis.
Yeah, he's not really dressed to impress here, is he?
So Reggie has some pretty good insults here, though. Talking about Moose being so dumb that he he's basically just saying Moose is dumb and Betty is
Stupid bitch,
a stupid cunt.
Damn,
Reggie's a mean man. Reggie's not a nice man. He's an ad. He's mad because he just wants his damn chocolate building. Is that so much to ask?
Here's Jughead making an impassioned plea.
I'm with Archie. Archie's right.
That's I've got my choice words for firmly up for Jughead.
And now Moose is going to do something.
Here comes 1990 Chris Farley to the rescue.
Hey, he even kind of acts like Chris Farley because he's like, hey, Reggie, I'll make you. And then Reggie goes, oh, you shut up, Moose, you dumbass. What are you going to do? You're so stupid you can't even walk up here. You're stupid. You got the shell on it. Then he walks off. You remember when we were all in Riverdale? like 2 minutes ago? That was great. Look at how selfish Junior. There's Bulk and Skull.
Is this where Archie is arguing that they're going to lose their very souls if the ice cream store closes?
Yes. Yes. Legal argument here for those who may not be listening to the movie is that, yes, my opponent may have signed legal documents and legal precedent on his side. However, if you close this one chocolate shop, you might as well be throwing away all of our souls and damning them to the fiery pits of hell. And everyone.
Tell him, Arch.
It's right. My soul is going to hell. And it's all on account of Pop's chocolate shop. And the judge, who hears this madman and this town full of madmen and madwomen make this outlandish non-legal argument, goes, you know what? You've given me much to consider here today. I'm going to take it under advisement. If you're Reggie, don't you just throw your hands up and just walk away and just leave this town forever? It's like, what the hell? And clearly the legal system is broken here.
And here's Bob angry because people are agreeing with Archie. Bob is just angry at this point that everybody likes Archie.
I'm angry at this point that everybody likes Archie.
So you are Team Bob in this case?
Yeah, I'm Team Bob. He's a philanderer. He's a
Are you an anti-Archite now, then?
I'm becoming an anti-Archite. I have to say it. You know, Nick's been sending me some pamphlets in the mail, and I'm not saying I believe it all, but I'm saying there's some stuff to it.
Anti-Archite hysteria running wild on this podcast.
There Hiram Lodge is dressed as Hugh Hefner for a moment.
Oh, a man after my own heart.
Hiram Lodge is a turd in the punch bowl of life.
We've got some anonymous Richards out there, Hiram Lodge, who are find it more appropriate to be a turd in the punch bowl of life than to try to do something productive with their lives. Then again, that's just my opinion. Hell, I could be wrong. Just an opinion, folks.
Paying a visit to Veronica now.
And he grabs her by the hips. This guy is like not respectful of any kind of
boundaries. None of these people can make up their mind what they want. Veronica wants to fuck Archie, and then he grabs her by the hips, and she tries to get away from him.
And this is the point where Hiram Lodge literally instructs his butler to murder Archie.
I thought you were supposed to take care of this.
I thought so too, sir. Make sure it's permanent this time.
Try harder.
Yeah, try harder.
Now, Archie has taken Veronica out to the middle of this field, presumably to
have his way with her. Oh my god, this is Winnetonka from Purple Rain.
Very scenic, yes.
I guess.
Very, possibly Midwestern.
This is the scene. This is where Prince takes her. It's let us purify ourselves in the waters of Lake Minnetonka.
Now that was clearly your Dave Chappelle Prince. That's what that was.
Oh, that was real Prince, I'm pretty sure.
that was John Cena.
Come, let us purify ourselves in the lake waters of Lake
Minnetonka. Notice the subtle difference.
Yes.
We hold fire tonight!
Look at Archie standing with his hands behind his back like a douchebag.
This movie, man.
Archie is auditioning for the role of Darkseid, hands behind back.
What are they even talking about at this point? Who cares?
They're talking about killing an old man when they were in high school.
We're pretty much just waiting. We're only stretching this out to get to one scene at this point.
That flashback. And here he is looking like Mr. Rogers. Look at him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he does.
Man, Archie loved those school letters, huh?
Yeah, he did. Oh. He also loved looking old as shit.
Comic being evoked here, you know.
Sprinting to Veronica's room. Only to find out that she too is leaving Riverdale, and he is once again flabbergasted that people aren't going to put their entire lives waiting for him to make up his mind.
Veronica's got a very 1990 Brenda Walsh haircut here, too. Bangs and all, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm. It's a little bit bigger than Brenda's hair, but true. It's yeah, that's pretty close. So it's the day of prom, and now he's finally decided to get off his indecisive ass and ask Veronica.
He wants
because he knows it's not going to happen with Betty.
Yeah, Betty's done with him.
Also, high school Archie bears some similarity to high school Clark Kent in Richard Donner's Superman the movie.
Now here we are. They have decided to go to a junkyard for some unknown reason.
Well, they'll uncover the leather helmets.
But why would they go to a junkyard for a recreational activity?
I almost got the impression that this was a setting from the comics, but I have nothing to base that on other than why, like you said, why is this so random?
I'll gladly pay you today for a hamburger tomorrow, or wait, whatever the hell. Tomorrow for a hamburger today. Yeah, those are the both of the adaptations of Archie that we've viewed in the last month appear to have done away completely with Jughead.
Greg,
now,
you know who Betty is, right?
Yeah, Lauren Holly, Samsonite.
Samsonite, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Both of the adaptations that we've watched in the last month appear to have done away with Jughead's obsession with hamburgers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Isn't that his big deal in the comics?
I thought there was a scene earlier where there's like a tray of food and he like turned around and like pursued the food or something like that. The implication being he just likes to eat and not specifically.
I think they were just finger sandwiches, though.
I don't know.
Because, I mean, I've not read a lot of Archie, but my interpretation of him has always been that he loves hamburgers.
Yes, that he wants to fuck hamburgers more than he does women.
Right. And who doesn't?
Well, in some interpretations, he doesn't want to fuck anybody.
That's true.
Wasn't that a thing a few years back?
Yeah, asexuality was a thing, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, there was a group of people who were upset that hottest man in the world for 2018 was not going to be portraying the asexual version of Jughead on Riverdale.
I'm sure there was another contingent that was very relieved that didn't carry over into the series.
The diehard digest
Archites. I didn't make that statement.
I was going to say the diehard Archite community.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's an old sock. Good Lord. What the hell's wrong with these people?
Yeah, what was the purpose of those old leather helmets, by the way? They didn't do anything.
People in the 30s and 40s were had a very limited knowledge of what would protect you from things. So the thought was, just this layer of fabric on my head will prevent me from getting my head caved in. Archie's almost nude.
Moshy. So this is
Archie looking a little bit like Kylo Ren there. Out of shape, in shape guy from the 50s.
Out of shape, in shape guy.
Oh. Here we go. We have arrived, ladies and gentlemen, at the greatest scene in this movie.
No.
Okay. Shit. If any of you, somebody get me the timestamp on this mug. 102:50. If you do nothing else on this podcast, if you skip through all of our bullshit, I wouldn't recommend it. But if you did skip through all our bullshit, this is what you need to see. Go to this point in the movie. This is not just the best scene in this movie. This is not just the best Archie scene that's ever been committed to film that we've seen. This might just be the greatest scene in American television history. Or the worst scene in American television history, because
you decide.
this is the ultimate revelation.
Okay, it looks like he's wearing the hat because of the way the thing his hair is doing right here. Look.
Yep. This is the ultimate revelation that Forsyth Jughead Jones IV is a child predator.
Here
we go.
Can't even do play-by-play for this. They're trying to impress.
They're trying to impress about a 9-year-old girl. It looks like.
Yes.
Yeah. He and his son.
And he's rapping a song at her that includes lyrics like "You've got me wanting you" to this 9-year-old girl.
And he goes, "You are my candy girl," and then you put your all over me.
He actually says it, yeah. See.
Yeah. Oh my God.
How?
You know what's crazy is that you know there has to be at least like 4 more takes of this, and that means this was the best one.
I am just seriously embarrassed right now.
He won his son's respect.
That's how he wins his son's respect.
Tony, he walks off doing his urban voice too.
Yes.
Oh God. So okay. Lost in that glory was at the very beginning when they're sitting on the bench. It is not his son. At no point do we get the indication that his son is interested in this girl. Except through the dad talking about it. Then the dad looks over, makes eye contact with this little girl, and waves at her. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Very off-putting.
Is it too much to hope that was like a deleted subplot or something that
God.
They were trying to pay off?
It has to have been a deleted subplot.
Because it's so out of nowhere.
It's totally out of nowhere. It's not, I mean, unless I missed something. Maybe there's like a bit of dialogue that I missed, but it looked to me like it just completely came out of left field.
I mean, context does not help that scene. If you watch that scene in isolation, not knowing anything else about this film, it would stupefy you. And it stupefied all of us just watching it as we've been following along with this thing. It's just so
utterly...
It's the money shot. I mean, it's the money shot of this movie, let's face it.
It is the coup de grace. It's all downhill from there. Yeah. Like, you're not...
Well, it wasn't exactly uphill at any point anyway.
No, but that was what it was all about. I mean, my God, the predation, the...
Now, here's Reggie trying to be a nice guy, going, hey Archie, just to, you know, smooth things over.
She's doing a good work for me. That's all
he said. No, but he's offering, basically, to just give Pop all the money it would cost him to relocate the shop somewhere else, and Archie's basically like, not now, not after all this.
Asshole. Well, he would do that in exchange for Veronica. So we got very very soap opera-y there.
Is it the deed to Veronica? Is there a legal document?
That's what Archie said. He said, you know, it's kind of unethical to barter for a person. He's like, well, I know you can't make any guarantees, but I can't either. The old man might not go for it. So it was like,
yeah, and then Archie's like, did you ever think that that's not ethical? And then Reggie goes, no. and then Archie goes, listen, I don't have any sway over Veronica. She's over me. She's not interested. And then Veronica walks up to him with no buildup, grabs him by the back of the neck, and furiously makes out with him in public. And then walks off, and then as Reggie walks around the car and shakes his head in disgust at Archie just has this dumbfounded look on his face and then gets a smug look. He goes, well, I guess that's all I can tell you about it. And then he swaggers off. Having just made out with another woman, not his fiance.
What does he say? And how does he
say? He says,
we are...
I guess that's all I can tell you about it.
We are about almost an hour and 10 minutes into this movie, and just now about to see our first non-white person in the entire thing.
That is horrifying.
That is true.
Close-up shot of Jughead. Oh my Lord!
Jughead, by the way, portrayed by the great Sam Whipple.
Mm-hmm. What else has Sam Whipple been in?
Who you might know from, he got hair transplants, it looks like. Unless this is an even older photo.
Yeah, this has to be an older photo. There's no way. Because he's got a head of hair that looks like a young Kirk Douglas.
I mean, yeah. So.
Kirk Douglas' chin. Maybe he got a chin. Oh my God, he died.
Oh.
Let's just hit the back button there on the old Wikipedia.
Well, it doesn't say how he died. I mean, we don't have to assume it was a murder-suicide.
Cancer. Okay.
Cancer. Okay.
Apparently, he had a recurring role on Home Improvement, which I don't remember at all.
I don't
and here we are with a rousing game of bumper car polo.
Seinfeld is in here.
Is that William the Refrigerator Perry?
I don't know.
I thought it was Reginald briefly.
This game looks ridiculous. What is the point?
You're supposed to knock the balls into your team's goal.
Yeah, it's kind of like polo.
Obviously.
It's kind of like polo, but with go-karts bunch of fucking idiots doing it.
Yes.
Nick, is this how you got injured?
No. What? No, sadly.
Was that too close to home?
No, it's No, we had no brooms or balls. It was just, hey, let's drive up and down this ditch.
The enterprising young man might say, what's changed?
Nothing.
That was a Todd Weber-esque question.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, boy. So they're playing this. Now, why are they playing this again? Was there some sort of like?
I don't know.
No, that was another deleted subplot, I guess, because there's not really any build up to this.
by all of these specific characters are playing this one specific game of go-kart polo.
Mm-hmm. This scene goes on entirely too long.
Now you see Bob and Reggie are out to take revenge on Archibald. Young mm-hmm. Archibald. Or old Archibald, as it were.
Yeah.
I wish this had just been a porn, because...
That's how I felt about Riverdale.
Yeah, I feel the same way, Jenny, and I think they think they should explore it.
This should definitely be a porn, just so we could all see Jughead naked.
You know what? This is a movie of all the establishing scenes in porn.
Yeah, it's all the bullshit and none of the fucking...
If ever there was like a tagline to put on the VHS box of this movie, all the bullshit and none of the fucking.
It's also a great tagline for my eventual life story.
All of ours, actually.
Oh, here's Chris Farley again.
Get out of the way, Chris.
Chris Farley is actually the old doctor from The Dark Knight Rises in the jail. He's just gonna kind of put an elbow in there, and everything's gonna be magically fixed.
Punch his back in a,
yeah. Oh, he broke his neck! My God.
This is a little Stu Hart now, too.
Archie likes it. He likes it when Moose touches him that way.
Put your finger in the asshole and you make you feel pretty good.
I'm saying it just popped him on the ass.
You get stretched, Archie.
See, what we need to watch is the porn follow-up, Return to Riverdale's Ass. Flat, not ass.
There's Miss Grundy again. Remember, she fucked Archie in Riverdale.
Yes.
What about this guy? Who is this guy again? Mr. Who?
Mr. Weatherby.
But who is he? Like, what
he's
is
apparently he's the school principal.
He
the
is
mayor.
And apparently the boss of this game of go-kart crap.
Yes, the principal of Riverdale High School.
Principle of life. Mr. Weatherby. Now, kids, remember to practice safe sex.
And now here's Bob again, being angry.
What is sex ed like in Riverdale? I mean...
Nobody has it.
So nobody.
Where does one begin?
Okay, here's the scene I was talking about, Jenny. You better get ready for this.
I'm ready.
You're going to change your mind on Veronica and Betty in just
a
moment.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see.
I'm just going to say, Samsonite's got it.
Yeah, Betty's about to turn it on.
Yep.
And also, remember what we said, all of the bullshit, none of the fucking, prime example.
Look at those. Gloves are on at this point.
Her gloves are on. I like the hat. Hat's a good touch. Mm-hmm. Carmen Sandiego hat, right?
Yeah. Nice. Where in the world is Betty Cooper in Archie's crotch about to be?
Well, she wants to be.
Yes.
We're in a full-on Red Shoe Diaries mode.
And now she's written a smut novel that she has presented to Archie.
Yeah, because he's reading it out loud and he goes, I could see from the steam in his eyes that he wanted to...
Oh.
Betty!
Mm-hmm.
Well...
Betty's saying, I could be bad, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's just say,
only time she's hot is when she's trying to be Veronica.
Oh, gosh. Yes, but she does it better.
I don't know.
Because you know there's a human being underneath. Underneath all the lust, you know that there's an actual person of value underneath and not a hollow.
Who cares about that?
Well, clearly not Archie. As he just locked her in the bathroom.
Yeah.
No, it's the locker, because she comes out in a few minutes.
Well, and now we've got quite the situation on our hands, don't we?
Yeah, we're about to have a major situation. We're going to talk about Archie's ultimate dick move. When he locks her in the closet and shoves a TV against it. What if she had been stuck in there forever?
Well.
Yes. I'm not going to say what... I started to say.
Oh, well, now you have to.
Very, very R. Kelly of him, yes.
Oh, see, now she's in white again, so she's angelic. And then you have the devil on that side.
Devilish woman.
That devilish woman, Tony.
Devil woman. That's a good Marty Robbins song, by the way.
Mean old devil woman.
Yeah, and as we will soon see, I got trapped in the closet once again.
Yep. Trapped in the closet.
He just leaves. He's, you know what? You know what?
Oh, his fiance just showed up.
Yeah. The one girl who gets emotionally ignored and abused throughout the entire film.
Now look, though, he is treating her like a queen, picking her up.
No, he's just trying to get her to where she won't see
now,
that he's got two
Greg,
naked
I think, women. Now, neither one of them were naked.
She's naked. She's just got a towel on.
She's not naked, though. The towel is covering her. That disqualifies her from being naked.
And she has hose on.
Oh, you're right. She does. That's very weird. Who takes a shower in their hose?
Me.
Maybe that's Archie's kink, pantyhose.
Yeah, maybe she has garters on.
Mm-hmm. It is kind of odd that Veronica would be the one that would stay clothed the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Is that the scene that was supposed to change my mind?
Yeah.
Nah.
Oh, my God. I mean, I can see an argument for both, but goodness.
Nope.
That Veronica, I mean, Betty Samsonite.
So, okay. Again.
Jason Hervey on the right, Priestley on the left, right?
We're not actually going to finish this fucking thing, are we?
Yes, we're going to finish.
Oh, God.
We're gonna do what Archie Andrews has never done in his life. We're going to finish.
Oh, God.
If you side-eye him, he does kind of look like Jason Priestley.
He kind of does.
How much time is left in this godforsaken thing?
What is he saying to his
What is he saying to Pam? Because I haven't seen this part either.
Oh, a bunch of bullshit about Betty and Veronica and some such. And she's like, oh, are they going to be there tonight? And he's like, oh, yeah, they're going to be there.
They sure are. And, you know, maybe you'd like to meet them too, huh? Huh?
Here's Jughead.
He's just completely... Maybe, do you think Jughead will end up getting with Pam?
No. They're going to pay off the big Ethel thing here in a minute.
Yep. Don't worry, Pam. Pam will get hers.
It all
works out for everyone in the end.
I'm taking a wild guess, and I'm going to assume that Big Ethel is not big anymore, and that's the big gag.
Well, Greg, let's just wait and find out right now.
What were you going to say about Pam, Nick?
I was going to say that Pam doesn't deserve bastard Bob that she winds up with at the end, but, you know.
Well, that's just a spoiler.
I was going to say.
That is horrendous.
I'm sure you guys were on the edge of your seat.
This whole experience is ruined now.
Because they both got jilted, and they're both, you know, career-minded people, and they can actually appreciate one another because, you know, they're interested in progressing.
Oh, look at Big Ethel.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a very Mary Jane reveal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Face it, Jughead, you just hit the jackpot.
And then she just gave the little kid the fuck me eyes.
And he probably said, waka waka.
Mm. And can we pick Ethel over Betty or Veronica?
She's going to get in the jacuzzi, and they're going to. She's just invited this father and son tandem to join her.
That was all kinds of uncomfortable.
Why would you invite a father and son duo to join you in the jacuzzi? Well, one of them were not of the legal age, that is.
Now, wait, she has been pursuing Jughead her entire life, effectively. And
yes.
I mean, she is not going to be deterred. I mean, he's finally showing some reciprocation here. And by God, damn it, if there's a little kid that's a part of this, then, you know, we'll find some way to dispense with him and get down to business, which we're not going to see because this movie is all bullshit, no fucking.
All bullshit, no fucking, yep. And here we go. Has he taken her to the same, like, spot that he had Veronica earlier?
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's taking her to the spot that Prince deflowered that woman in Purple Rain. Yes. John Cena Prince.
Yes, that's John Cena doing his urban voice.
Now, yeah, see, here's the difference with Pam and Bob, though, Nick. Pam is a good person, and Bob is a
That's what I was saying. He's a bastard. So why do she has to wind up with Bob at the end just because he's the only other person that doesn't have anybody?
I'd rather her end up with Mr. Weatherby than
Pop. Pop needs a little something.
Yeah, why didn't Pop get any love?
Yeah. No, you know, and Pop, one thing that could help Pop, Greg, out, you know, if they were gonna have a relationship, Pop and Pam, he could go on over to BlueChew.com and
I understand that. No, it doesn't really matter what your age is, Nick. Mm-mm, it doesn't matter if you're a young man, a middle-aged man, an old man, or even a very old man.
Well, they really say age is just, you know, a measure. It's not really important. It's all about how old you feel. And I have it on good authority that David Sunday, who's the oldest feeling motherfucker alive, uses Blue Chew to great results. So David Sunday also vouches for BlueChew.com.
I'll be honest with you right now, Nick. I don't know anyone that we know that doesn't use Blue Chew.
No, nor do I. Nope.
Well, you know, I don't measure my age when I'm using Blue Chew. I measure other things.
Oh.
You know, like my semi.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like hearing about semis, you can tune into the Haffy Awards, mm-hmm. available in the archives right here at Place to Be Nation. Boop! Mm-hmm.
Excellent segue.
Oh, so Betty and Veronica, have they come to terms yet? Have they put aside their petty differences?
You just gave me an ad. Fuck you.
Oh, now Bob's abusive. Huh. All right, I'm finally turning on this Bob character.
Look at Bob getting handsy.
Yeah, I know. I don't like that. But to me, that's too aggressive. What is she wearing?
Which one?
Pam. What is Pam wearing there? Like a Dr. Evil quasi futuristic suit.
It's kind of a pantsuit. It's very Demi Moore and like Disclosure kind of thing.
Yeah, I can see that. Disclosure. Oh my god!
Oh my god!
This is the worst band that's ever been. None of these people look like they know how to play a musical.
There we go. A little Jughead on the drums.
There's nothing quite like the scene in Disclosure where Michael Douglas is trying to resist Demi Moore's advances with the unwanted beige in the office after hours. That's a hell of a scene.
You know what that scene's better than?
This entire movie,
except for the rap scene, of course.
Yeah.
This is like the least funky band. Hey, wait, Reg is in the band?
What? That's what I was saying earlier before we started the podcast.
He insisted. He insisted that he join them.
That's where you say, oh, I don't know, no.
And that's another thing. Like, maybe this was, you know, like filmed out of order. This was supposed to be probably the last scene after everything's resolved, but they're trying to edit it and it didn't work.
I've got to hear just a snippet of what they're playing.
Oh boy.
All right. God almighty. That's worse than I imagined.
What are they playing?
I thought it was just going to be Honey Honey again, but it's not. It's something else.
No, I don't think we did hear more than a snippet of what they were playing, really.
And Bob and Pam are not impressed by their loved one's attempt at music.
No. But they're going to
should they be? It sucks. That's the problem. That's the problem here, is it? Well, it all sucks.
It's all bullshit.
Bullshit. Okay, now I can't figure out if that guy is William the Refrigerator Perry or the or a mustachioed version of the henchman or the corporate stooge from RoboCop. Tastes like baby food.
He is mostly a voice actor, apparently.
Yes.
This movie ruined his career in live action.
He voiced the character Blade in Spider-Man the Animated Series.
Oh, very good. Blade and his plasma weapons.
With the Punisher and his plasma
weapons. Yes, and his plasma weapons. And Cable and his plasma grenade. Everything was pleasant.
And his chiclet guns.
We need a movie with Ultimate Cable in it. That's what we need.
Oh, my lord.
Plasma box office bomb.
Mm.
Bub.
So they've come to bulldoze the store?
Yeah, yep. they're gonna murder Pop in the meantime. Right.
Yeah, that's one of the things that was part of the legal proceeding that we didn't mention earlier, is in addition to losing his business, Pop is forfeiting his life in the process. And
he would just
as we established,
die.
The souls of everyone in the city. And here's Police Academy to show up and
that's right.
Set things right. Where's what was the guy that did the voices?
Oh,
Michael. Michael Winslow.
Winslow, yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember they tried to build like this huge franchise around Police Academy? There was like a cartoon, and there were action figures, and it was just
Moscow, yeah, or Voice to Moscow, whatever the hell.
So weird.
And the weird thing is they tried to do that franchise too late. Like, if they had done it after the first movie, it might have worked the way Ghostbusters did, you know?
Right, yeah.
But they waited until, like, Police Academy 4 to start doing it. And by that point, like, you know, the luster was gone. You had no Gutenberg. You had no Bobcat Goldthwait. You know, the only one you had around anymore was Tackleberry.
I believe I had the...
Yeah, because Police Academy came out in 1984, and they didn't try the television series until 1997.
That, oh my god, that's insane. That is like so... How does that happen?
Wow.
Now, I grew up watching Police Academy movies. I loved them as a kid. Because as you guys know, I watched things that were inappropriate for kids to watch. But yes, I loved the Police Academy movies. And mainly I loved Bobcat Goldthwait and Michael Winslow, because they made funny noises. And so I would have been all about a Police Academy cartoon back then. Wasted opportunity. If it's not obvious, folks, this movie's getting really boring now. All the good stuff's over with. Now they're just talking about boring shit. Veronica's trying to win over her rich old father now, somehow get him to change his mind about Pop's chocolate shop.
Right,
chocolate shop.
He gave her everything that money could buy, but nothing that money couldn't buy.
Excuse me. Police Academy, the animated show, was in 1988. Police Academy, the live-action show, was in 1997.
There was a live-action show.
Yes, which apparently Michael Winslow was the only cast member from the original film to be a recurring character on.
I'm shocked. I remember when I was a kid, I loved him so much, I could never understand why he never became a big star. And I'm sure it's because all he did was the noises, the sound effects. And it kind of limits your career prospects, I guess. But
they made 7 fucking Police Academy movies.
I had the Police Academy police station. It was a stand-in for the X-Mansion when I was a child. Because they never fucking made an X-Mansion, man.
Yeah. I had like a little remember they used to have those little megaphone things that you could put it to different settings
and
say something. I had one of those for Police Academy that was supposed to do the Michael Winslow noises, and it sucked.
Oh, I think I had that too, actually.
Yeah, it didn't really sound
anything. What is happening right now?
Is there a bomb?
Did Hiram Lodge try to murder them?
Hiram Lodge's driver tried to murder him, and Hiram had a change of heart, but the driver did not.
He ran around for a full minute with a bomb in his hand, just running around in circles like a fucking idiot.
Some days you just can't get rid of a bomb. Is there going to be an actual explosion in this fucking made-for-TV shitty movie?
Well, stick around.
As Andrew Garner pointed out the other day.
Oh, shit!
Oh, nice!
That was awesome!
That is awesome.
There was their budget.
See, as Garner pointed out,
that was their budget.
You used to have explosions, because it doesn't take much, just dynamite and matches, pretty much.
Dynamite does explode. Yes. I think that's one of its many uses, yes.
Yes.
Now, what is happening here?
Today, it's all CGI bullshit.
Now, Pam is pissed because Archie likes high school too much, so she's going to leave.
Yeah, she's leaving him.
I don't blame her. He went and for a fucking week has been pining.
No,
over
a
his
weekend.
High school crushes.
A weekend.
Oh, God, it feels like a week. He's been pining over his high school crushes, acting like that life is so much better than what she had to offer him, when she's done nothing but be nice to him.
All right. Greg?
Yeah?
This or Riverdale?
Well, I'm of a few minds about it. Not just two, but a few. This is a question that demands serious thought. You've given me much to consider this day, Nick. Mm-hmm. Much like Archie with his legal arguments. Mm-hmm. So Riverdale, as I've mentioned before, did have the murder mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Did have the overwhelmingly attractive cast.
Mm-hmm.
Of people. But I gotta say, the one thing that this movie has that – well, there's two things that this movie has that will put it over Riverdale for me.
Mm-hmm.
Let me explain. Number one, it has the rap scene. And number two, it is a movie and not a TV series.
Yes. And I would argue that there are stretches where it is so bad it is at least somewhat entertaining.
Yes.
And how terrible it is, whereas Riverdale never approaches that because of its, you know, desire to be taken simultaneously, both too seriously and not seriously at all.
What if the bus exploded?
Oh,
what if the
awesome.
Bus exploded
that would
right
be
here?
Awesome. So, yes, I would much rather watch this again than any more Riverdale, put it that way.
Yeah.
Didn't you see these guys at a wedding recently, Nick?
No, but they did ask me if I were interested in an additional 20% on my trade in. So,
okay.
You know,
more Todd Weber esque jokes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, what would you guys say, Riverdale or this?
This.
I mean, yeah, this does end, which is
right.
the main advantage that has over Riverdale. I mean, there's really only that one scene, which, I mean,
right.
Just all the scene is really selling it short. That reaches that so bad it's good threshold. The rest is just sort of not remarkable. Let me put it this way. I don't recall any other digressions about the Police Academy franchise on your Riverdale podcast live watch. But
way too handsy with this kid.
This
kid who we all wanted to murder by the, you know, but now the kid through the magic power of rap has found his personality.
Guys, I think I have the same shirt that Jughead's wearing.
Right now?
I think somewhere in my closet I have that shirt.
So who is he choosing? Is he choosing himself?
I choose.
No, you're not wrong.
Yeah. He's choosing the kid, I think.
He's pulling a Kelly Taylor, ain't he?
He's pulling a total Kelly Taylor.
What a fucking asshole, just like her.
You do not have that shirt in 2018.
Well, no, see, here's the thing. It's pretty similar. It's
right,
not the exact
no
same
way.
One. It's not the exact one, but it's like I went through this phase in the mid-2000s where I was buying these like kind of frilly shirts like that, and like, you know, loose fitting, button up.
So Tim, I didn't finish the end of this movie. What is he actually saying to them here?
Well, he was actually telling them that Pam left him, and they were kind of talking amongst themselves, saying that he had to choose. Well, they said that before even knowing Pam left him. So they all went in for the hug, and there's the scene, there's the movie.
Oh, good Lord.
Wow.
We do not get an answer.
That's right.
Which is, you know, the kind of...
They wanted to save it for the show.
That was, but that's in keeping with Archie. Like, isn't that the whole Archie gimmick
that's
for
the whole,
forever and ever?
Mm-hmm.
Smithers.
Well,
I mean, you never grow up. You never move forward as a human being.
Nope.
You should not only stall out in life, but actually regress.
Mm-hmm.
I think is the message here.
I don't know about you guys, but I think the happiest time of my life and when I was at my best was in high school.
Oh, God.
I mean, my God, I just – that is something I will say is a little bit broken in me. I just don't have the nostalgia that maybe some people have. So
I have what I feel is like the bare minimum amount. Like – the
right.
The amount that like there can be like once every 2 or 3 years where I'll see somebody I knew in high school and I'll go,
sure.
Hey, that was fun for like 15 minutes. And then I kind of, you know, I'm much more one of those people who if I'm ever back around the hometown and I see somebody I know from high school, I'll like duck around the aisle to try and avoid them.
You'll hold your head down and kind of go into the milk aisle or something. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I don't know. I do kind of miss the lack of responsibility and freedom. Sure. And
that was college for me. You know,
that's now for me.
Yeah.
I have a lot of nostalgia for college.
Yes.
I don't have a lot of nostalgia for high school. I have some nostalgia for like the last year of high school because for me it was very much like a social climbing thing where like I was on the bottom rung of the shit rung for my whole life basically. And then some reason
– sucky depression.
Sucky depression. But then like for some reason like my last like 2 years I guess I had forged this persona that allowed me to become accepted amongst the popular kids. And so not the most popular kids, but the medium popular kids. So I actually had fun the last 2 years of just kind of or mainly the last year of having a little bit of freedom and, you know, all that stuff. But honestly, I don't miss any of those. I miss like two or three of those people and the rest of them. Not really. College, I miss almost everybody that was in my friends group.
I mean, I'm not saying it was a bad experience, just not, I don't know, just one of those things I've never really been able to relate to for whatever reason. Just like, okay, that was a thing that I did. It was a period in my life. It's over. It's fine. on to new things.
What about you, Jenny? Extrapolate more on your initial point.
I had a lot of fun in high school. I was a band nerd, but also a pothead. So, you know, I had a diverse group of interests and friends. And I went on a little bit of a power trip there for a little bit.
A power trip?
Yeah, a little bit. I like to, like, corrupt people that were younger than me.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
So, anyway.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, and then when I went to college, you know, I had to, like, get a job and, like, go to classes and be a functioning person. And I didn't like that quite as much.
See, I was kind of the opposite. Like, I was under so much pressure in high school because the only way that I knew I could go to college is if I had, like, a nerdy obsession with my academics. So I had to like work all the time on that. And I was always scared of screwing up. So I didn't do much until my last year. And then I gotten to a point where my grades were good enough that I could kind of coast my senior year and play video games until like 5 a.m. and stuff, which was great.
Listen to this degenerate.
I know. And then I went off to college and that was even better. 'Cause you know, I realized that, Most of my college classes were, you know, I mean, Nick can attest to this, not the hardest classes in the world. So it was a good time. It's a good time to be alive. And then I got into the real world and I realized it was all sucky depression life from here.
Right. True.
All right. So guys, give me your final thoughts on Return to Riverdale, Voyage to Riverdale, To Riverdale and Back Again is the name of it, actually. But give me your thoughts on this fine film we've just witnessed.
Well, I just passed gas, and if I could have done that into the mic, held it a little longer, I think that would have been my response.
Jenny, you got to experience the film not with actual dialogue, but with us running our mouths the entire time.
So I think I kind of enjoyed it better that way. So, like, if you can watch it and not listen to it and then just have funny people say funny things to make you laugh, then it's a great time.
You know what? That's a good perspective to have on it. You know, maybe that would help me think of it better to put it in that perspective. Nick, your final thoughts?
Pretty awful, but it was occasionally entertainingly awful, and thus it elevates it, like I said, above the god-awful CW Riverdale. And, you know, I aspire to one day have the dad dance moves of one Jughead Jones.
And it does have that scene. That scene I don't think I'd ever seen anything quite like it. In my non-work life.
Yeah,
I saw some things at the newspaper. It, yeah. But like, I've never seen anything like that. It's not just the rap. Because I've heard some corny white man rap before.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's the combination of the rap, the dance moves, if you want to call them dance moves, and the presence of a seemingly 45-year-old man around 9-year-old children.
Yes,
Yes.
It's unfortunate. But I'm not sorry we did this. I will say that.
No, not at all.
Nor am I. I would do it again. And in fact, I think that this was so successful, this particular formula of
this genre.
We're going to have to do it again in the future for some other notoriously, or not actually not even notoriously shitty. This, I wouldn't even say this is notorious. I don't think anyone's heard of this motherfucker before. In the future, we'll have to find other obscure, horrible TV movies or B movies in general to review with this panel. What say you all?
Police Academy 7, we're coming for you.
Potting iron is still a thing that will happen at some point.
Oh yes, I've got to dig through my collection and see what all I've got and how I can get it in the hands of others.
Oh, we'll find a way.
We'll find ways.
You got to go chronologically, right? You got to start with whatever that first one was. wasn't there a Western in there? Like right near the beginning?
Yeah. Well, you had Hercules in New York. Do we
go there?
I think there's one before that. I was looking at his filmography not long ago. Acting career.
I'm looking at it.
You kind of want to do like actual
Hercules. Right. Hercules in New York. That's absolutely an Arnold movie,
yes,
right?
I would agree.
Then you've got, I don't know what the hell, I have Stay Hungry and I still don't know what it is. I have the DVD copy of it and I have no idea what it is.
The Long Goodbye?
Pumping Iron, of course.
Stay Hungry. Oh, let's see here. Stay Hungry centers on a young Birmingham scion played by Jeff Bridges who gets involved with a shady real estate deal. In order to close the deal, he needs to buy a gym building to complete a multi-parcel lot. When he visits the gym, however, he finds himself romantically interested in the receptionist and drawn to the carefree lifestyle of the Austrian bodybuilder Joe Santo.
Is he romantically interested in him, too?
I don't know. But you got Jeff Bridges, Sally Field, and Arnold there in, like, 1976. Yeah. That sounds like something I'd be interested in.
Sounds like something good, yeah. And then you got the movie The Villain, where he plays the character of Marcus Alexander Bagwell's original wrestling character, the Handsome Stranger.
The Handsome Stranger, oh.
Hey, I've never seen this, but this sounds awesome, actually.
Then he's got Cameo and Scavenger Hunt. We can skip that one. Yep. Then you get into the good stuff. Conan the Barbarian, Conan the Destroyer, Terminator. The Terminator, Red Sonja, Commando, Raw Deal, Predator, The Running Man. Can we just stop here to appreciate this run of movies? Commando, Raw Deal, Predator, and The Running Man in a row.
I mean, it doesn't quit. It really does not let up until...
Shit.
I kind of like Eraser.
Eraser's not bad. Jingle All the Way.
We're up to 96, you know?
So it probably stops with, what, the Sixth Day?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sixth Day. Although, as I pointed out in the podcast with Jenny, Sixth Day does include that immortal line.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you go clone yourself so you can go fuck yourself?
Oh, God.
and I have to say, I have never to this day seen Collateral Damage. So I don't know how I will take to Arnold playing a firefighter named Gordy.
I don't remember it like at all.
I'm Gordy. I'm a firefighter, and I'm going to take down the Colombian drug cartel.
That was like the first really feel good, violent post 9/11 action movie. was sort of the way it was pitched.
Because it was originally, I think, supposed to come out in 2001, and they delayed it into 2002. Do you remember he also had that cameo in The Rundown where he kind of does the nod to The Rock?
Yes.
Passing the torch to The Rock. Yes, and then he becomes the governor for a while. And then, of course, he comes back with The Last Stand.
The Expendables.
Now, End of Days is an interesting installment as well.
Yes, End of Days.
I remember he went on SmackDown, remember, to promote
Yeah, it beat the piss out of
Triple H. And it has that other immortal line, you're a fucking choir boy compared to me.
You're a fucking choir boy compared to me! A choir boy! Yes, it also has his character of Jericho Kane, as I mentioned. But
yeah, that's a great name.
He's on SmackDown, and he's like, I want to tell everybody I'm pleased to be here tonight on SmackDown. And then everybody claps and cheers, and he goes, yes, come and see my new movie, End of Days. It was like the Conan sketch. You're not going to believe it when you see my movie, End of Days.
Wasn't it weird that they did that on SmackDown, the taped show?
Yeah, it is weird. You'd think they would have done that on Raw.
Yeah.
Credit to Triple H. He took that slap. I don't know if he had any choice or not, but he took that slap and went flying over the table. Yeah. Good stuff. Anyway, that's all for Potting Iron, and that's in the future. I want to personally thank my dear, close, personal, longtime friends, Tim Capel and Jenny Smith, and I'm going to give each of you a chance to plug your social media presence, to plug your podcast appearances, and to let us know what you've got coming down the pipe, so to speak. Yeah. Tim?
Okay, so on Place to Be Nation, which is the feed you are hearing this on, you can also find me on Marvel Age with the co-host of the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Nick Duke. Also Russell Sellers, also the manager Todd Weber, chronologically looking at all the most important stories and best comics from Marvel Comics throughout their great history. We are closing in on, gosh, Nick, what year now? So we're going to do 1967 part.
Yeah, so we got one more episode of 67, I thought, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
And so then we'll be on 68 after that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
By the time this is out, hopefully you will have already heard the first part of 1967.
Of 1967, yes.
Summer of Love.
And I will not plug my other program just yet because I think that's a good segue to our other guest.
Yes, Jennifer Smith. Why don't you let the good folks know how they can find you on – oh, Tim, what's your social media? Twitter. Address.
I am at Psyche68 on Twitter. That's CYKE68. I wish I was with you guys in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia right now.
It is serene.
I will be either dead or homeless as of the time you're hearing this show due to the hurricane that's about to make landfall. So,
well, of those two options, I'll vote for homeless, and you can come live with us.
Okay, very good. So this may be my very last podcast appearance. So it's a great one to go out on, if it is.
And on that morbid note, Jenny, what is your social media presence, and where can people find you on podcasts, and what do you have coming our way?
Well, now I'm all sad because Tim died.
No. Tim's going to die in the future.
Well, here's the thing. Well, I will then just be a ghost in the machine that is Florence.
Maybe it'll be a situation where Jenny will absorb your essence like Rogue absorbed the essence of Carol Danvers for a while.
Oh, yeah. Then we'll compete for headspace. Yeah, it'll be very
cool. Or it'll be like Ghost where you just stand there awkwardly and watch her podcast with other people.
That too. We can share a sucky depression life.
Yes.
Afterlife. You're ruining my afterlife, Tim.
Jenny does love pot, but not that.
Hey, I'm the one that's dead. You're ruining mine. What are we doing? Who are we?
You can listen to me ruin Tim's life on the Talking Pop.
On the Talking Pop. the talking pop that we do.
Where we just did one talking about Beverly Hills 90210.
We did. Greg was on that show. That was fun. And then my other show, Freak Out Drive-In, Greg was also on. Mm. And we watched Predator.
I watched an Arnold movie.
We sure did.
Freaked out!
And then Deacon Sassy just celebrated its second anniversary. So we'll have a new episode coming out in just a bit. And you can find me on Twitter at JennyCruz2814.
Excellent. Awesome. We have just a cavalcade, a litany, a cornucopia of podcasts here for your listening ears. A veritable heaven. What we're going to do right now is Nick and I are going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we will have Reading and Watching. Will it be more than last week? I'll let you decide that. And the answer is no. And we'll also have the rundown, our weekly look at the news and notes in the world of comic books. Ooh, exciting, isn't it? Not really, but stay tuned anyway.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the pro wrestling only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place for Nations, JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceForNation.com. We offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place for Nation Wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, along with Main Event, Survey Says, the Monday Night Wars, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, as well as Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network podcasts and pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Match of the Week podcasts, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Through the Years, Worldcast, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Center Stage, and Letters from Kayfabe, plus much more. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as Talking Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, NBA Team, PTBN Play, Sunday Groove, Breaking Balls, and Lucha Undead,
as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans
with the hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and Marvel Age Podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback today. All these shows, plus others, available at PlaceForNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceForNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceForNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hi there. Have you recently gone through a crisis? Did you find out your friends had been lying to you for years to cover up something they did? Have you discovered that one of your bitter enemies might actually be three people? Were you seemingly killed by a new god only to find yourself quantum leaping through time until you make it back to the present? Was your entire reality wiped out in a cosmic battle between two godlike beings only to be reborn, destroyed, and reborn again? Then join me, Russell Sellers, and my special guests as we help you manage your post-crisis life in DC Post-Crisis Management, a limited monthly series starting in September. We can't promise you closure, but we will try to avoid destroying your hometown and turning you into a homicidal maniac who wipes out time.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back here in the Ho-Ho Loon Plaza in the L-Shaped Studios. Nick, what a rousing first part of the show we had there. We learned a lot. We went through a lot. And I think we came out the other side, in pretty good shape.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it bears repeating that, Greg, you are my candy girl. And you've got me wanting you.
Well, then you put your all over me.
Well, yes, I have done that many times, and it clumps in the back hair, I must say. So that's not a good look.
As long as it doesn't grainy clump all the way in the back hair, then.
Well, now what would that look like?
Oh, I don't know. Only Mike Douglas, only man ever do that for me.
I believe there was a popular rap song back when I was in college called "Crank That Soldier Boy" that spoke about Supermaning that hoe, and I think that's kind of what we're talking about here.
Now, I understand that recently you've been Spider-Manning.
I have
rather than Supermaning.
Spider-Manning that hoe, yes, which is completely different.
Yes, that of course is when you trot around the world as an industrialist, right?
Yes, you trot around the world as industrialist, and everything is going well in your life, and it's just everything's great that way.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of everything going great, I think we need to drop a little bit of knowledge on the listening audience. Nick, what do you think?
I don't think we're qualified to do that, but we can certainly give it the old college try.
We're going to do that. We're going to give it the old college try right now, in fact, because we're ready to hit you up with our weekly look at the news and notes in the world of comics. We're here to hit you up with the rundown.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the rundown.
And Nick, to lead things off, probably the biggest news item since our last show, we have finally gotten a long-awaited look at Captain Marvel, the next movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Mm-hmm. We still don't have a trailer.
Nope.
But what we do have is a look at the costume that Carol Danvers will be wearing in the movie, which we will get to in a second. We also got our first look at the Skrulls in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, as they appear to be launching some sort of an invasion of Earth in the movie. And we also got a little bit of a plot detail about the film. More so than what we've had before, and that is that the movie will kick off in the 1990s, but it will not be an origin story. Carol Danvers already will be in possession of her powers and fighting alongside a Kree military organization called the Star Force. And the leader of Star Force will be Jude Law's unnamed Kree officer. Unnamed at this point. He'll have a name in the movie. They will be battling.
Many are theorizing that he will ultimately be revealed as some version of Mar-Vell, the original Captain Marvel from the comics.
And they will be battling, of course, Ben Mendelsohn's Skrull warrior Talos leading that invasion.
Ben Mendelsohn, who is just going to play villains for the rest of his career, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know who that is. Who is
Ben Mendelsohn played the lead villain in Rogue One, if you recall that that individual, and he was also in The Dark Knight Rises as Daggett.
Really? Daggett? Yeah.
Yes. Ben Mendelsohn.
Yeah. We talked about Daggett right here on these airwaves just a short time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Remember about maybe
he was also the lead villain in Ready Player One that I saw.
Which I haven't seen.
Yeah, so yeah, four villainous roles to date for old Ben Mendelsohn.
He could be the new Gary Oldman.
Mm. Yeah, but eventually Gary Oldman did other things that were not villainous.
True, but it took him a long time.
I saw a fantastic, Gary Oldman as Dracula laughing gif the other day, and it just reminded me of the boob hair and everything, and it was good.
You mean the breast hair?
The titular hair.
The titular hair, yes. Careful, you might Bixenspan yourself.
Oh, no.
Now, remember like 8-9 months ago, Nick, when the set pictures of Captain Marvel first leaked out, mm-hmm. and the internet had a conniption over the look of Captain Marvel's suit and how it was green and looked like a Power Ranger suit?
Yes.
Well, that was much ado about nothing because the suit actually looks awesome. And it's almost like we should just stop reacting to set photos.
Yeah, I mean, and the suit, you know, the original green and black suit, is she does wear that in the film, apparently. And there's a reason for it, mm-hmm. because she's a member of this Star mm-hmm. Force outfit, which is interesting that she's going to be a member of a larger space-based organization that wears green
outfits. That wears green and black.
Yeah, very interesting.
Now, Nick, do you, as a you know, a casual observer, mm-hmm. With no real tie to Captain Marvel, not mm-hmm. a lot of knowledge about nope. Captain Marvel and her comic book history, and I'm nope. in that same boat, do you think that it could work? Now, I know this is going to sound a little out there, so please bear with me. Don't immediately make fun of me for suggesting this, but mm-hmm. do you think it can work if Marvel chooses to take a large portion of this movie and put it in space with a mostly alien cast mm-hmm. Wearing green mm-hmm. alongside our lead character, no, who is from Earth, wearing green,
no.
battling other alien creatures. No. Do you think that has any chance of working?
No, clearly this is going to be Marvel's first bomb because such a concept could never work. In order for such a concept to work, you notice, Greg, they are bringing it back to Earth because if you were going to make such a film, you could only have space be a very tiny part of it. You couldn't have it be the major mm. focus because nobody would find it relatable, you see, and thus nobody yeah. would go see it. Remember how Guardians point. Of the Galaxy featured Earth heavily in the back half of both of the movies? I'm sure you remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the biggest part of those movies, if I'm not mistaken, Nick, you can correct me.
Yeah.
But all I remember about those movies is Chris Pratt falling in love on Earth.
On Earth, right.
And having to balance his love life well, and his career as a working man mm-hmm. alongside being a Guardian of the Galaxy.
Right. And then, you know, always the best part of any Star Wars movie is when they have the climactic battle. Not out in the far reaches of space, but, you know, right there on Earth instead.
In a galaxy right so here. Close to home that it actually is the galaxy.
that it is right here, yes. That's the formula that those franchises have followed, and clearly this will follow in those footsteps.
Right.
And we're not at all bitter fans or anything like that.
No. So we've established that this movie is going to flop miserably mm-hmm. because it's following a pattern that that – you know, others have indicated will never ever work. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, the suit looks great. I think everything looks interesting. I know that some mileage may vary on the origin thing, but being not a fan of origin stories in general, I'm a big fan of just picking it up with her already being a powered individual.
I think
I'm
you
sure
have
we'll
to
get
have
stuff in flashback.
I was about to say some sort of flashback to it because, you know, much like Doctor Strange, which I know you didn't really dig the origin story there, but for these characters who the larger general audience doesn't know who they are, I think the origin story kind of at least needs to be covered in brief. Maybe not, you know, full detail,
well,
but we need
well,
something.
You, do,
you, know?
You do it the way that Tim Burton did it.
Yeah.
Where, you know, he's Batman already, and then at his point in the movie, you kind of get him and Alfred discussing what happened to turn him into Batman with maybe some flashback shots right. here and there.
Right.
I just don't need a movie of – she's just a – oh my gosh, Nick! You're mm-hmm. not going to believe what I almost just did.
You were just going to say she's just a small town girl.
Small town girl, yeah. Yes, living in a lonely world.
Watch out! The Russians will come for you if you endorse Journey.
Wait, what?
The Russians. The Russians will be out to get you if you try to prop up Journey because there is clearly an anti-Journey conspiracy going on currently on Place to Be Nation.
Oh, that's a good point. The Russian bots have infiltrated mm-hmm. like Skrulls are infiltrating in the movie Captain Marvel. Mm-hmm. So everything looks great. The one little nitpick from a design standpoint, and again, this could be totally proved wrong when it comes time for the movie, but I hope the one thing about Marvel in their cinematic universe is they have shown somewhat of an aversion to headwear at times. A lot of Captain America without his helmet, a lot of Iron Man without his helmet, things like that. I'm hoping that we get the Skrulls with their headpieces because it makes them look more distinct.
Enough for me. So they look great. Samuel L. Jackson, the one shot they showed of him with the de-aging effect applied was just
Oh, amazing.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
The whole thing looks great. I know nothing about Captain Marvel. I go in with the most open mind and mediocre of expectations, and I'm sure I will walk away having those expectations blown out of the water, much as I often do with these more obscure Marvel mm-hmm. properties.
Yes, yes. Curious to see how it's going to turn out. Should be very good. A character that I don't know much about either, so I'm going in with largely a blank slate. And
what'll be a great opportunity for us to learn more about Captain Marvel?
Oh, tell me more.
Captain Marvel Month coming in March.
I didn't know that was a thing, but yes, that will be good. And we'll have to just see how it all plays out. Maybe we'll even get a version of Binary on the big screen. Now, when it comes to binary thinking, you have a lot of superheroes across the spectrum that have this issue. You have your dual personalities of Clark Kent and Superman, of Bruce Wayne and Batman, Peter Parker and Spider-Man. And then you have Matt Murdock and Daredevil. Well, if any indication can be gleaned from the teaser footage released this week of Daredevil Season 3, it looks like Matt Murdock is choosing to end his dual nature mm-hmm. and embrace the devil within. We got teaser footage. Yep.
This looks awesome. You know I love things that are superhero things that are just needlessly dark, and this looks right up my alley. I can't freaking mm-hmm. wait. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
Yes. I am excited. I think there's a lot of potential there, and I'm particularly hopeful that I will come back around on a lot of the supporting characters that I turned on in season two. So I'm excited.
Who did you turn on besides Karen?
I didn't like Foggy in season two.
No,
we've been
Foggy
over that
was
before.
Fine. Foggy
I actually
was fine.
Hated Foggy in season two. I thought he was irrational and stupid, and also annoying. But all that being said, I like the actor playing him, and I loved him in season one, so I'm hoping they can bring things back around in season three. And this looked good. It was just a teaser footage, so we really don't know much beyond that. And admittedly, it's a little bit of a superhero cliche of sorts, but it's one that we haven't seen done on Marvel television. We've seen it done maybe on Arrow, but this is going to be with an MA rating, so it should be even more bloody and delicious for us. So looking forward to that. It may even be, Nick, dare I say it, both vicious and delicious.
Let's hope so.
And if it is, I'm claiming Scott Flash Norton for my own. But do you know what Scott Flash Norton will not be appearing on, Nick?
I don't know.
He will not be appearing in HBO's upcoming Watchmen.
Now, can you confirm that?
What?
I'm gonna need to see your sources that have confirmed that Scott Flash Norton will not be appearing in HBO's Watchmen.
How do you like this, Nick? I'm going to pull it up right now. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Anonymous. Oh, that's not working anymore. I'm going to use the president's site. Anonymous sources.com.
That was some political humor for you guys. I'm sure you enjoyed it. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming.
And what I'm seeing here it is, source:, Scott Flash Norton. Oh, it said, never mind. It says unlikely to appear.
Unlikely. That doesn't mean
HBO's
he won't.
Watchmen.
Let's leave
that's
our,
true.
Let's
he
leave.
Could show up and give Ozymandias a shoulder breaker.
That would
right
be
out
awesome.
Of nowhere. That would be awesome.
We don't even know if Ozymandias is in the show. Remember, it's a reimagining, Greg.
That's right. And what about Ice Train? If Scott Norton appears, can Ice Train be far behind? Managed by the Godfather, Teddy Long.
I don't know. It's hard to say. Hard to say.
But it can be hard to say is for the creators of the original Watchmen to bless adaptations of it. Now, granted, the great Dave Gibbons, the artist behind Watchmen, has never listened to Place to Be Nation comic book theater, our adaptation of Watchmen, but
to this day, he's been a little bit hesitant on prequels and sequels to the story. Mm-hmm. But he gave an interview recently that indicates that he has read the script from Damon Lindelof, a Nick Duke favorite, and he has given his blessing to it. He says, "I found Damon's approach to be refreshing and exciting and unexpected." Mm. And he says, "I don't think it's going to be what people think it's going to be. It certainly wasn't what I imagined it to be. I think it's extremely fresh. I'm really looking forward to seeing it on the screen." And then finally, he says, "While it's very reverential and true to the source material, the Watchmen graphic novel that Alan and I did, it's not retreading that same ground. It's not a reinterpretation of it. It approaches it in a completely unexpected way." Now, Nick, I know that both of us have approached this project with some level of trepidation. How does Gibbons' comments make you feel, if it makes you feel anything at all?
They don't. I learned my lesson on this type of thing about, oh God, how long has it been? 3 or 4 years ago when Universal was putting out videos of James Cameron wholeheartedly endorsing Terminator Genesis. And I said, well, you know, if James Cameron says it's good, then I'm going to take his word for it. So I went to the theater on opening day, no less, and I plunked down my money. I said, I want to see that there Terminator movie. And I went and watched it. And it was
give me that one with that there Terminator in it.
It was a steaming pile of horse shit. So creator endorsements no longer mean anything to me after that day.
I went there to that there theater. I said, give me 2 biscuits, 2 mustards,
mm-hmm.
and get me one of them biggins,
mm-hmm.
that Terminator there.
Yep. Arnold.
Just that robot what got in a bad way with time travel.
Yes. Yes.
He got a penis kind of shaped like a banana.
We don't know that. I don't know that.
Anyway, yes, that's a good point. That is a very good point. And as we know, James Cameron also brought to us Abada.
Indeed he did.
What if James Cameron directed a Batman movie where the villain was Arnold playing Abattoir?
Oh, that would be amazing. Wouldn't that just be the best?
Oh, it would be great.
Mm.
Anyway, so, yeah, I'm in the same boat. I'm still trepidatious about this. We will see where it goes. Of course, I'm going to watch it. It's Watchmen.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably watch it.
Everything just, Watchmen related, you but, know. You know, it's just a little nervous, you know?
I'm not really nervous because my expectation, like, I'm expecting it to suck. So it's not even, you know, it before Watchmen, let's be honest, for the most part, it wasn't any great shake. So it's not like mm-hmm. Watchmen is still this pristine thing. You know, it's been tainted already somewhat. So this is mm-hmm. just going to be another.
And I'm really, really loving Doomsday Clock.
I am too.
And so I think that I'm like, I'm probably going to view this show through the lens of that, of like, yeah. wanting something along those lines, and it's probably not going to be that.
Well, yeah, so no, yeah.
And I know Damon Lindelof has done some good things, despite my hesitation about him.
Yeah, I've never seen any of them, but apparently he has.
Apparently he has, right. But it's kind of one of those things where I just don't trust him to pull an Alan Moore and reinterpret all this stuff, you know?
Nor should you.
So, anyway. But we'll see how it turns out. And that, ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, is the end of the rundown.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Nick, there's another recurring segment we do here weekly.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Wrestling Minute, but that's not coming up until later.
Mm-hmm.
So what
I've actually got,
right
I've actually
now,
got some special content for the Wrestling Minute later.
Oh, my
God. We're
going
to have a little bit of a different Wrestling Minute here in a little bit, folks, so stay tuned.
Oh, my gosh. Is it a sumo wrestling minute?
No, I got something. I got a very special treat planned for our listening audience.
Oh, very good. I'm surprised you didn't bombard us with do you think we need a debut, a bleeding cool minute on our show?
No. I mean, no. It might be entertaining.
This week, yes. It might be. Oh, anyway, let me shake that off. But now let's get to the king of all weekly recurring segments.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to our segment where we like to tell you exactly
the things that we've been consuming in comic-related media in the last week. Yes, that's right. Reading and watching.
Reading and watching. What you been reading and watching? Ah. What you been reading and watching?
Nick, what you been reading?
Nothing.
All right, neither have I. Haven't read a... Actually, no, I have been reading something, but it's all been related to our next Long Book Hunters episode, which hopefully will come our way next week.
Fingers crossed.
So that's all I've been reading. What you been watching?
Nothing.
About the same for me. I need to finish off Krypton. I would like to start on Legion at some point as well, but there's just so much to catch up on. Russell's got me wanting to catch up on Preacher as well, but I have to watch season 2 first, which, you know, is my own fault, admittedly. Mm-hmm. But you know, a lot of stuff to catch up on. But I know, Nick, that you have been playing something.
Mm. Have I ever? So this past week saw the release of the long-awaited PlayStation 4 debut of Spider-Man, a game from Insomniac Games that is, as of right now anyway, a PlayStation exclusive. I picked it up there on the opening night when it came out. They had a Thursday night pre-release party at the GameStop, and I was so excited to get the game that I sent my wife up there to pick it up for me instead of going in myself. So she went and picked the game up for me and brought it back home. And that night I dove into it a little bit and then played it much more on Friday. And then when I got back home from South Carolina on Sunday, and then spent most of Monday playing it. So as of this recording, the game says I'm about 55% of the way through. And man, it's phenomenal. It is. I hesitate to say it's as good as Arkham Knight or Arkham City, which I think are the two best superhero video games ever made. But it's close. It's right behind those. I would have it as a top three superhero game, as of this recording anyway, ahead of Arkham Asylum and Arkham Origins, but behind Arkham City and Arkham Knight. The combat, once you learn how to play it, is so much fun. Just moving around the city as Spider-Man is just great. And the level of detail and attention that's gone into the city, the characters, and just making it feel like a true adaptation of both Spider-Man and Peter Parker. Great job by Insomniac Games. I hope they keep making these for a long, long time.
Very good. As I've mentioned to you in private, I am looking a lot forward to playing this game in a calendar year or so, at least. Not because I'm not excited about it. I'm very excited for this game, and I'm not even a big Spider-Man fan. I've kind of come to terms with that in recent years, that the character of Spider-Man just doesn't do as much for me as it does for other people. But I still like good Spider-Man stories, as seen in the movies, as seen in some of the great comic runs over the years, and even in some of the great video games we've had over the years. And man, this game really has me excited, because I've not heard anything bad about it. Everybody's loving it. You're loving it. Everybody I know that's playing it is loving it. And so I'm really looking forward to it. But I'm so far behind on video games, and it takes me so long to play video games or to get around to playing them, that, you know, I know I want to play Arkham Knight finally, and then Red Dead Redemption is going to come out, and I'm going to play that. And so it's just going to take a while, but I'm looking forward to it when I do. It seems awesome. I love the approach to the gameplay. The visuals are outstanding. The fact that you get to play as Peter Parker is really cool and a little different from what other games have done in the past, in terms of letting you, solve puzzles and things like mm-hmm. that. I read several of the reviews on it, and so I have a little bit of an idea of how it all works and everything. So, really cool.
Yeah, there are cool moments where you get to do these lab missions as Peter, where you're trying to figure out circuitry for gadgets and analyze compounds and things like that. And so it's cool to see a nod to the scientist side of Peter Parker. Mm-hmm. So
now, I do wish that we would get a Spider-Man game where, and maybe there's been one in the past, people please let me know. I do wish we'd get a Spider-Man game where you're playing missions as him as a news photographer. That would be kind of cool too.
Photography also plays a role in the game.
Oh, okay. Very good.
Not news photography per se, but there are missions where the part of the objective is to photograph things.
I would make a game where it's a realistic news photography game, where you're just constantly driving around with little to no money, taking pictures of public meetings and accidents.
Greg, if that were the case, then you know, if Spider-Man took place in Troy, Alabama, he would be like a 15-year-old kid. Right. On a power trip, but that's a blast from way back.
Yes, indeed. And that's going to be the end, I believe, unless I can think of anything else to blabber on about here, of our week read and watching segment.
Now, I mentioned earlier that I had some special content here for the Wrestling Minute. Now, normally for the Wrestling Minute, Greg and I will sit here and we'll talk for a minute about wrestling, but this week, I'm going to turn it over to Greg exclusively, and what he's going to do here is I have just sent Greg a news article that features a rather extensive quote from a certain individual that Greg and I are both very fond of. And so what you're about to get, people, is you're going to get Greg giving you Scott Steiner's unfiltered opinions on the current landscape of WWE, but he's going to do it in the stylings of, you guessed it, Scott Steiner. So, Greg, the Wrestling Minute this week is going to be a one-man show.
All right. Let me see if I can – let me open this up here, this very link, and let's see what Mr. Steiner has to say in his interview with What Culture Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, What Culture Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the two times I was up there, I thought about quitting. Yeah, fucking weirdos, man. The bullshit you have to deal with now it's worse because you got one of the biggest cunts running it, you know? Stephanie McMahon, what the fuck does she know about wrestling? Just because, and then Triple H, fuck. Are you fucking kidding me? Feel bad for the wrestlers, you know? Because they pigeonhole them in these stupid characters, and they make everybody do the same interviews that they print out. You can't expand. You can't be creative. It's not what my picture of wrestling is. People say they sell it like this. It's the squared circle. They proved it. It's bullshit.
And that has been the Wrestling Minute.
Man, I feel empowered, Nick. I feel very strong. I feel oddly testosterone.
I was gonna say you might want to check your testicles, though. However, yeah. I would.
Yes. I would think that it's perhaps in my best interest to avoid USADA tests in the next few days.
If at all, possible, yes.
I'm nice and fired up now. Mm-hmm. That was really special. Thank you for that, Nick. Thank you for sharing that gift with me.
You're welcome.
Well, what do we have coming the folks' way here in the next few weeks at the Hard Traveling Studios?
I don't know.
Let me answer that question for you. We have next week, theoretically.
I don't know.
This is written in pencil. We have a Longbook Hunters on Kurt Busiek and George Perez's Avengers, the first 11 issues collected in trade form from their 1998 Avengers reboot. A relaunch, rather.
Reboot. Who gives a shit?
And then we're going to get going into, I don't know what the hell's next after that, actually. What is it, a countdown of some kind?
I'd assume some sort of countdown, yeah, but how the hell am I supposed to know?
You heard it here. Some sort of countdown coming your way, folks. And then we get into everyone's favorite gimmick month of the year, Walking Dead month, where we will be bringing in guests to help us recount the Walking Dead comic and the Walking Dead TV show and the Walking Dead game and the Walking Dead TV show again. So we'll have all kinds of great content coming your way. And then in November, You better get ready for this, folks. We're going to have the already long-awaited PTBN comics draft pitches coming your way. If you haven't downloaded and listened to the comic book draft yet, you got to do that, folks. It's a winner. We've gotten a lot of great feedback on it. We've gotten comments from people
all over the range of the internet here, from our friend Mike to our buddies on Facebook, Brad Warren here at Place to Be Nation, just all kinds of great individuals sending us words. Siskel and Ebert gave it 2 thumbs up, and they're both dead, which is impressive that they were able to do that. So just check it out, folks. You won't regret it. And with that being said, gosh, I just don't know if I have anything else for anybody, Nick.
No, I think that's it. Thanks for listening to our bullshit about Archie, related adaptations again for the second time in less than 3 months. And
let me make a promise to the people right now, Nick. That is the last Archie comment, the last Archie material that you're getting for the year from the Hard Traveling Fanboys.
Oh, now we don't know what else might be out there, Greg. We don't know what else might be out there. Maybe we'll do one of them Mark Waid Archie books at some point.
Yeah, maybe so. If the demand is high enough. But let me say this here. Let me make this deal to the audience as well. If anyone out there suggests any Archie content for us to review, you will be joining us on the show.
No, we don't want that. We don't want that.
We could review the old Archie's record from the 60s.
We could review Archie's Weird Mysteries, which is apparently a late 90s and early 2000s animated series that featured Archie characters involved with monsters and ghosts and other supernatural characters.
So basically Scooby-Doo without the dog?
Yes, but with Archie characters.
Ugh. Puke. In any event, what's happened in the last month has successfully turned me into an anti-Archite.
Well, there you go. There you go. I mean, that's good that you're able to admit that about yourself. I myself am not an anti-Archite.
Oh, come on.
I just have not yet.
You are 100% an anti-Archite.
How do you figure?
Every bit of information and evidence that we have points to you being an anti-Archite.
Like, I mean, so I didn't like Riverdale.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like this movie today, which nobody else did either. Nobody else that's been on any of our podcasts liked any of that content either.
You have openly mocked the idea that people read Archie comics.
No, I have not. I have openly questioned it. I haven't mocked it. I've questioned
You've questioned the idea that anyone could possibly read an Archie comic.
Let me remind you once more what the quote was. I am saying, I have never seen a person buy an Archie comic. I have never witnessed an exchange of financial goods in exchange for an Archie comic. Not once, not ever.
This sounds an awful lot like an anti-Archite trying to.
I have nothing against the character of Archie Andrews. I don't know anything about him other than he's probably white toast and vanilla as fuck. But that's just the nature of his character.
How vanilla exactly is fuck?
Well, it depends on who you are. And that's all I'll say about that.
That's all we're going to say about that. Well, we hope you join us next week, folks. We'll try to do better next time in our back half of the show.
No, we won't.
But we probably won't be able to match the front half of the show. So, in any event, enjoy.
Pair of sweatpants and a sweatshirt, go take a 2-mile jog, and then come back and see him when she was done.
I believe it was quite sudden and painful.
Hard traveling fanboys, 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 hard traveling fanboys. Hard traveling fanboys.